The Joe Rogan Experience.
Train by day, Joe Rogan podcast by night, all day.
That was one of our longest yet most enjoyable commercials.
Fantastic.
Yay.
Because it wasn't, I mean, it wasn't. You know what I'm saying, man?
I know what you're saying,
with me, brother. I mean, it was a little bit of both was going on there. Tom Segura and Christina P. I got to give you guys world champion funniest couple.
Yeah.
Thanks, man.
And the breaking of the mold of every entertainer with an entertainer is in a shit relationship.
Sure.
You guys have totally fixed that.
Yeah, thanks, man. Because
it's always like the dude's funny and the chick is like good looking and he writes jokes for her. Mm-hmm. It's like one of those.
Or
it's, you know, that the guy's funny and he takes the girl with him on the road. It's very rare that there's equals.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but you guys are both really funny and you really love each other. You get along and it's like a weird
and
hot situation.
We're both hot.
You're both hot as fuck.
But hairy.
That's a weird situation that it actually works.
So lucky.
Yeah, we get asked about it all the time.
Yeah, we do.
You would think one of you guys would suck. It's usually one of you sucks. Right? Am I right?
For sure. Oh, definitely.
It's usually like you have to hang out with this guy's, you know, really annoying wife who's also a comedian, or really annoying husband who's also a comedian.
Oh, yeah. You know? And she's actually has less tolerance for it than when we go out with other couples. She's always like, don't leave me at the table with some boring fucking cunt. Like,
I hate it.
While you go have fun with the guys.
Because here's why. Yeah. Because when we hang out with other comics, like, it's usually dudes, and then they have, like, you know, wives that maybe not are as inspiring. And I always want to hang out with the dudes and talk shit about comedy. And then I always get stuck swapping fucking recipes for Apple Brown Betty. I'm like, I want to talk about clothes, man. Like, let's talk about some shit.
Yeah, they defined you by your vagina.
Yeah.
You got lumped into the wrong group. Oh, shit. Speaking of which, did you hear about this fucking 50-year-old guy who he had a sex change? And now he's playing college basketball.
What?
No,
he's
playing that one.
College women's basketball.
Great.
He's enormous.
Wait, now did he? This is another. I don't know about this. This is really. You just made me really think about this. Did he have college eligibility, or did he already go to college as a man? And then since he switched sexes, he has new 4 years of eligibility to play? Because that would be so awesome if he did that way.
That's
rad. Dude, this guy, okay, probably a very sweet person. I shouldn't say thing.
Right.
But this dude / woman, woman now? Did I say woman? Okay.
I don't know.
The woman that used to be a man, let's call her a woman, she is 6'6".
Whoa.
Wow.
That's some really,
she's not. That's like a giant man.
Yeah.
And she's decided that she's a girl now.
Okay.
So she has the sex change operation, but she's still a 6'6" man-bodied woman.
That's a big bitch, dude.
So that is like if you're. I'm looking at all these little girls that are playing with her.
Yeah.
Man, if your daughter was playing basketball with a dude
who's
that
six,
was pretending to be a woman or decided to become a woman,
right?
You can't. That's all fine and good for the real world if you want to define yourself as a woman. But when you enter into athletics, there's a reason why there is fucking different categories for men and women. That shit's not fair.
So it's not fair? You think it's an unfair advantage?
Oh, my God.
Without
it's an
question.
Enormous man. That's crazy.
The other thing is, too, is because the one thing that's hard, I think, when you're not involved in this, but you see somebody, let's say, who gets a sex change, and I'm saying outside of sports, right? Just in life.
Right.
You go, they're like, hey, you know, I've decided to do this. I'm a woman now. And you go, okay. Right? You want to be like, fine, you're a woman now. But there's that part in my mind that always goes, yeah, but when I look at your hands, even if you've had surgery and everything, those are still men's hands.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Those are men's arms that you have and legs. Even if you have, like, implants in and you change your whole face, like, that's still a guy's bicep in your arm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Even though you had a sex change. So you're still – so if you take
so
that to sports –
he's playing as a man,
yeah.
That's where it all counts. That's where your original – biology.
And it counts the
That's
other smart. Way as well, because there was a guy who was a Muay Thai fighter, and he was really like a high-level fighter, and he decided to get a sex change. And then once he got a sex change, he got his balls cut off, stopped producing testosterone, and started getting the fuck beat out of him.
No shit,
yeah,
really?
Because he was still fighting men. Oh, he was still fighting men, but he didn't have balls anymore. So it's not exactly that this 6 foot tall person that was a man in
I see what you're saying.
Now a woman is a woman, but it's not exactly that he's a man either. Mm-hmm. He's sort of in this weird limbo state. Yeah. But he still has this unfair mechanical advantage. That's a giant person. He's got huge shoulders, huge hands.
Yeah. Right.
If you're playing against a little girl, that's just stupid.
Yeah.
Well, and it is like those athletes. Weren't they saying that the people that had prosthetic limbs, like the runners with those special, you know what I mean, those legs? Those,
prosthetics.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that they were like,
that's an unfair advantage. Yeah. You're so lucky to be crippled.
Well, the one guy made it in.
Well, you know, I don't want to say that, you know, that anybody would be lucky to be crippled.
No, but they were saying that.
No, but people were saying that.
Yeah.
But I don't think they were really saying that. What they're really saying is, like, realistically, let's look at what's going on here. There's a mechanical advantage to those things.
Right.
That surpasses the human body. Like, these are springs. You're running on these crazy sprinting springs.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know? Mm-hmm. I mean, those things work like a motherfucker.
Yeah.
So if they're really it seems like they work better than legs. So that is different.
One thing that can't happen for sure with those on is you cannot tear your Achilles.
Yeah.
It's like, it literally, you don't have one. Yeah. You can't tear your ACL if it's up to your quad.
Yeah. Well, the whole thing is really, I mean, you would never want to say that there's anyone that has any sort of advantage to being handicapped.
No, that's not the point.
I mean, it's a sensitive issue. I mean, we're all very lucky that we're not.
Thank God, of course.
But when you do see, like, that you can run faster with that, like, at what point in time do you let that go? If the world record becomes a guy with robot legs.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, how do you define the athletics then?
Like, that guy was in the Olympics this summer with prosthetics. Remember that?
Yes.
The sprinter. Was he South African?
I don't know.
I forget where he was from. I think he was. But he. It was cool to see him in the event. He didn't win or medal, which made it less of an issue. No, you know, people didn't press it. But they were pressing it before he got in. People were saying.
Are that South African runner, remember when we were in South Africa? Was she was both genders or something, and everyone was upset about it?
No, well, that was, people were accusing her of being a hermaphrodite, and they put her through
Was she at the end of the day?
No, she's a woman, but she was put through, like, really brutal
examination.
Horrendous scrutiny. Yeah. And people were awful to her.
And she definitely is a woman, 100%?
I'm almost certain. I just forgot her name. I blanked on her name too. But she is South African, and in the country they adore her because she was so. Yeah, because people really were horrible to her, like during the, you know, the scrutiny.
Right.
Yeah, but she's. I'm fairly certain she's legitimately.
You know, though, I mean, if you go through the trouble of cutting your peener off and doing all that, like, just let the girl play
basketball.
But
that's not her.
It's not let her play basketball. It's let her play basketball with little girls.
What school does this?
There's all these little girls that are playing. They're like, they just went to college. They're 18. This is a 50-year-old man.
Now, that one's crazy.
Bananas.
That one is crazy.
Okay, that shit is bananas.
What school is he? Is this?
Let me see here.
Poor guy, poor girl.
Yes, you're right. You're right. Absolutely. For God's sake. Yeah, God bless him.
Yeah, his whole life he just wanted to be on the ladies' team, and now it's happening.
Yes, sort of, but it's not fair. I mean, it's just not.
Life's never fair.
The problem is once you start having competitive athletics, it's like with any other thing in life, it's do whatever you want to do. If you want to go to work with a dress, if you're nice, I'll talk to you. I don't need you to dress like a man. If you know, whatever your fucking thing is, just if you're nice, I don't care. I'll talk to you. You have to recognize the mechanical advantages to the male frame.
Of course.
I mean, the tendon strength. I mean, even when there's a depletion of testosterone and your body sort of shrivels up a little bit and you lose muscle mass, it's still a goddamn man.
Yeah. And the overwhelming evidence is if you look at men's versus, if you line up men's and women's results for athletic competition, there's a reason why every single one, basically, the men are more advanced, and they run faster, they jump higher.
And then but then you guys are going to get like the anomalies. Like every now and then, there is a woman that can do as many push-ups as the male Marines or whatever
it is,
right? Aren't there Marines? Don't they have the same athletic standards in the Marine Corps?
But if you might get a group of weak guys, one really strong girl. But if you have all the athletes,
the strongest guys,
if you have just the strongest guys and the strongest girls, the strongest guys
will always be physically strong.
There are fucking freaks out there.
Oh yeah,
I've seen some of these guys in the UFC that fight 3, 4, 5 rounds and don't even get fucking tired.
Wow.
What kind of incredible shape some of those fucking guys are
in. Amazing.
That's amazing. Like some high level shit. And at that level, those men, those like the really high level men, like there's nothing like that. That women can't really keep up with that.
Oh yeah, you know? Right.
And that's one of the big accusations against this one woman who is like one of the top women in the world.
Mm-hmm.
She was stripped of her title. Her name is Cyborg, and she's built like a strong dude.
Mm-hmm.
Like Brian, can you pull up a picture? pull up a picture of Cyborg, muscular dude. You wait till you see how scary this chick is. And she fought this other chick, Gina Carano, and Gina Carano was
a beautiful
son of a. I guess her dad's like a famous football player.
Yeah,
you know, beautiful, smart, tough chick, and this Brazilian bitch just ragdolled her.
Really?
It was horrific. It was a vicious beating.
Yeah.
But everybody accuses her of doing steroids.
Doesn't everybody, okay. though?
So then she got caught.
She did get caught.
And she got caught. She tested hot. And when she tested hot, everybody was like, duh. like, I don't know.
Right.
That's one picture of her. There's some other pictures of her, Brian, like while she's celebrating in the cage. Because that's her at a weigh-in. And there's a difference between you at a weigh-in and you when you're actually fighting. Because when you're actually fighting, that's when your muscles pump up with blood. Like that one on the far right, you see her, Brian?
Right here?
Right there.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, right there.
She looks like Kate from Lost mixed with the Swedish.
Are you kidding me?
Grandma.
Anyway, she's
built like LaRon Landry.
She's a very, very muscular woman.
Jesus.
She's a tank. And she's scary talented, like as a striker. She's for a woman, she is fucking vicious.
Yeah, I believe it.
It's so, okay, and as feminist as I totally am, there's some part of me that I look at her and you're like, why? Why, sweetie?
Well, because she wants to go to war.
And I like that, and I respect that, because I too am an angry fucking, but at the same time, you're like, oh, I just want to protect her. I don't want her to get her face hit.
Oh, she came up with the craziest camp in Brazil. There she is. She came up with the shoot the bucks, and shoot the bucks camp is all these like badass Brazilian Muay Thai guys. They're fucking animals, and she was married to the other dude, Cyborg Evangelista, and he's a fucking beast too. He's an old school MMA legend. So the two of them were just like the scariest couple ever.
Are they breeding super babies?
I don't think they're together anymore.
Jesus.
Unfortunately, but yeah, she's a terrifying woman.
Did you, by the way, I told you I got to see a little bit of the fights this weekend when I was in the hotel. I was in Calgary, and I saw you on, and then when Brown beat Swick, it was, right?
Yeah.
Which was, he was, there was some great, that was a mostly a ground game fight, if I remember right.
Like I don't think they went to the, to the ground. He got him in a darce, and then he almost got him in a triangle and a darce.
Yeah, I thought Brown almost had him.
Yeah,
I think
in the first round, right? The first round, and then the second round he stopped him. Is that what happened, or did they stop him at the end of the first round? Was that the first round?
I think it was. No, I don't remember.
Whatever. I don't remember when exactly it happened, but my
And then
God,
he knocked him.
What a sensational knockout.
So, yeah. Great knockout. But afterwards, did you know or did you see, did he tell you when Brown was waiting for you? And like what aired on Fox was that he was standing there and he was looking around. He was like, hey, Joe. Like this. He was like, what's up, man?
Yeah.
And then it cut to commercial.
Well, he even said that to me. Like he looked over at me. It was totally not my call.
I didn't assume.
When if you see me in the cage or not, it's like it's not my call. They tell me we want an interview, or they tell me there's no time for an interview.
Yeah.
And a lot of times they say there's no time. And when you do a card like the Fox card, like I think they were already worried about time, and it turned out to be a good worry because the fight, I believe, started after it was supposed to end. So like for people that set their DVRs, like they didn't even get the fight. A lot of people didn't get the fight, apparently.
Oh, no.
So that's why. They were behind the time. I don't understand, like, how they produce a show like that. I don't really, like, even go in the truck and peek.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what the fuck they're doing. But I know that when, you know, you have, like, live fights, it's really difficult to judge how much actual time you have.
Right.
It could be, like, three first-round knockouts, or it could be three really long decisions where a guy gets kicked in the balls and you have to stop the time for 5 minutes. Like,
yeah.
So sometimes shit can drag on past where you think it's going to be. So they err on the side of caution, and they cut out interviews when they can.
Yeah. Well, and you got to have much tighter time restrictions on a network like Fox than like a normal, either, you know, obviously a pay-per-view or even like a cable thing, because that's like hard out and ends for other shows that you can't go late into, right?
Yeah, I guess it is.
You should just get walkie-talkies.
Yeah. Between
that probably solve everything.
Walkie talkies.
who would have the walkie talkies?
Hey, the next fight's on. Come on out. You know,
who's talking?
No, you don't. I don't think you know what you're talking about, silly bitch.
They should hire you as a consultant.
Talk about like misunderstanding.
That's a good idea.
What we're saying, as if communication's a problem.
Why don't you go into your next production meeting and be like,
I'm just going to bring him, and he's going to talk for me from now.
Guys, walkie-talkies.
Can we talk about the guys getting kicked in the balls? Don't they have something to protect their
Yeah, they do. Veins? They do, but a lot of guys, they wear the wrong cups.
Oh.
If you just wear like a regular jock strap, it's there's like those things move around. And they're designed for like sports. They're really not designed for dudes kicking you in
kicking.
The ass.
Oh. Yeah.
The things that you need when someone's kicking you in the dick, you need a more comprehensive approach.
Yeah.
You really can't just be
in a tight satchel.
Swift dick kick.
No. Yeah, you can't be settling for that softball bullshit cut. Because those kicks are hard as fuck.
Oh.
Inside leg kicks to the dick are one of the most painful things ever. They're so horrible.
You think, the Muay Thai kick? Is that your term?
I've been kicked in the balls so many times.
For real.
Because I've probably been kicked in the balls at least 100 times in my life.
Really?
Like really hard.
Ooh.
Yeah.
It's amazing that you can get through those. I mean, because I think about.
Cup, yeah.
Oh, but always with a cup on.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, I don't think I've ever been kicked without a cup. Thank God.
Oh, my gosh. Well, there's videos about that.
Yeah. It's the cup protects you a little bit. The cup protects you a little bit. It keeps them from rupturing, I think is what it does.
Ooh, rupture. They can rupture.
Because, guys have lost testicles because they were sparring and they got kicked and they didn't have a cup on.
Ooh.
Then what about when those like people get like the high heels and the ball
fetish
videos?
Yes.
Like, how does that shit just not burst open?
I've
got
to send you. You've played the one before. I got that. There's
I
a
don't
video.
Get that. That shit's frightening.
There's some that are clearly
so funny,
faked. Yeah. You know, the kick, like you can be like, oh, they've got a cup on or whatever.
Oh, my God.
But then I have one, I'll send it to you, where she's kicking him really hard. And he's got underwear on. Yeah, it's in Spanish. And then she's just like, suffer, suffer, I want you to suffer. And you're like, all right, but maybe he has a cup on. And then she takes the underwear off and she fucking. She's like punting a football, kicking him.
Oh my
like,
God.
Bam!
With heels on.
His knees are shaking, and he starts to bleed. He starts bleeding.
Oh my God.
And he's just taking it like,
he likes it, right?
Loves
it. And then
it.
She squeezes them when they're bleeding.
So hard.
And goes, sangria! What is she saying in Spanish?
No.
You bleed!
Yes.
Yeah,
oh my God.
She just smacks
it. So unnecessary.
Oh, I know.
Tell her to stop.
The one I saw is she was taking the heel and she was grinding it like a cigarette butt after on a rainy day. You know, like you're just grinding it into this concrete.
God.
That's what she was doing to his balls with high heels on.
What is it? Ooh. How could someone want that?
I don't know.
What is the switch that goes wrong in your brain?
I don't think.
Where you want someone to hurt you.
I think dirty balls. I hate them. That's what it's right.
Make me do bad things.
I don't think they can even want it. I don't think they even want it.
You don't think they want it?
No,
but they do it.
I think they something leads them to discover, not that they want it, but they're like, oh, my reaction to that is not what most people go through, which is like, God, that's the worst thing ever. All of a sudden, they get that, and something happens inside where it's like they get a rush, some type of adrenaline, and then they're like, "Oh wow, that there's a pleasure to that
my
too."
Peanut
right?
Guard.
Yeah, I think
it's
you
a
discover
power
it.
Thing, isn't it? An S&M thing. It's being submissive.
Are you watching one right now?
No, I'm scared. You guys got me scared.
Here we go. Look Joe on the TV.
Oh.
I don't think you're allowed to show this.
No, I'm scared.
You can't show balls, dude.
No, it's blurred out.
Oh, okay.
Is it really for real?
Like he has it spread out like it looks like a frog on a
Brad
on his
over
table.
At Ustream is our friend. Okay.
I'm just kidding.
We can't get him in
it's
trouble.
It's a high heel commercial.
You ever listen to Dan Savage? He has the Savage Love podcast. He's a sex columnist. And he says that those fetishes come from your childhood. Like let's say if you got a fetish for raincoats when you were a little kid, you associated some pleasure with your raincoat, right? Like you'd rub against it and maybe that gave you a boner. And then later in life, that's what you associate your sexual needs
to. That's
what
you have, like a latex kind
right,
of thing.
So maybe this kid got kicked in the balls when he was like a little boy by like a little girl that he liked or something.
And he got
know.
A boner.
Whoa, how many this dudes have creepy. Gotten kicked in the balls by girls they liked to the point where it became a thing?
There you go.
There you go.
How is it possible? How Man. Is it possible that so many dudes became turned on by the
That's
idea of getting their
every kids. Fetish guy, their model guy's story. Balls. When I was four, I got kicked in the balls by Molly.
And now bitch I've turned me. Turned me like a werewolf, and I became a ball kick fetishist.
Holy yeah. shit, that's gotta hurt.
Do what? I don't understand it. It's so painful.
I can't imagine
that anybody would want it.
Well, I always feel so tentative handling Tommy's nuts.
That's so nice.
Because they're so gentle and sweet, and the thought of hurting them.
And I asked for a little more. I could give him a little tug, give him a little something.
Did you know that the size of a man's testicles, the size of a human's testicles, is proportionate to the promiscuity of the women in his surrounding area?
Wow.
What?
With all primates.
I like that.
The size of the testicles rises and falls depending on how big a hooker the girls in your neighborhood are.
My dad must have grew up around some real sluts then,
isn't that
dude.
Great? Some giant balls.
My dad's balls are huge.
You were just talking about
last night. Yeah. I was like, I saw him. I went into his room and he was like, I think he was putting on underwear. So from behind, I go, Jesus Christ, man. And he was like, what? I go, you got like donkey nuts. He's like, all right, Tommy, like knock it off. Like, the biggest balls I've ever seen. So he must have been around some real whores. That's interesting.
Well, it's probably his, not necessarily him, but you know, the generations before him that made him. You know, it's like it becomes a genetic thing, and it all comes from being around more promiscuous women.
Loose bras.
Yeah, that's why chimps have the biggest balls.
Huge.
Oh, chimps have enormous balls. Their dicks aren't even as big as ours.
Because female chimps are
balls
down to fuck.
Are way bigger. Their balls are so big.
Yeah.
Chimps are down to fuck all day.
DTF.
What's the other monkey?
Are they
bonobos.
Bonobos.
Yeah. They're an actual cousin of the chimp. It's a separate type of chimp. Oh, yeah. They don't just masturbate. They do everything except mother and son.
Really?
Yeah, mother and son is the only thing they don't do.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we were talking about that on the podcast. Someone had speculated that that might be because they had figured out that there was like bad things happen to the baby when the mother has sex with the son.
Oh, they like figured it out, basically.
Yeah. Wow. Maybe, but the problem with that is they're fucking all day. They're fucking everybody.
Like, right, and
they
isn't
would have
it too-
to like. Really be sure.
Isn't it to kind of, they use sex as a social tool to smooth over differences?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Homosexual sex.
So great.
They just fuck each other. They go crazy. And they're very rarely violent with each other. It's really fascinating.
But because of that, you think?
But for sure, definitely. Yeah. But it's amazing how that evolved. Like, how does that evolve?
It's incredible.
It's weird. How do you get to a point where you got like this weird society of like loving chimps that just fuck all the time?
Yeah.
And then we look at them like they're sick.
Right.
Right.
Like, they're the only primates that we know of that don't kill each other.
Yeah.
Or don't kill each other a lot. I mean, maybe, you know, there's probably some aberrations even in the bonobo world where some shit goes down.
Right.
Someone's got to regulate.
Yeah.
You know, come in
some
with
bonobos' dicks don't work.
Now, I heard somewhere that before we had traditional marriage, that it actually made sense for the woman to bang as many dudes in the village so that the paternity of her children was unknown and she would actually have more men to protect the offspring. Like, that to me would make sense if I had all of you guys, right?
Jesus.
Tommy, Red Band, Joe, and that guy all doing me, and then I make a baby. Whose baby is it?
Right.
I don't know, but Jerogan's going to defend it, and
we all have to take care of it.
It's going to be my baby.
They become community babies.
Right. If you guys want to set that up before
McKenna. Terrence McKenna always...
sinks to the bottom.
Terrence McKenna always thought that in our distant history that it's likely that we had these polygamous groups of people that like did psychedelic drugs together.
Uh-huh.
Like his idea of like the long forgotten paradise was like these, you know, back where he believed like, you know, civilization was first being created. He believes that those civilizations that came up, they were all just eating mushrooms, tripping their balls off, and fucking each other.
Right. Yeah.
And then Club Med came.
that took a long time. I think your timeline might be a little bit off. But that
sounds like a fun time.
But that
McKenna's world.
But this idea was that at one time there was enough people doing ego suppressing things, like eating mushrooms. Like it's all like really speculative. There's the idea of trying to figure out how many different cultures were doing psychedelic drugs when they came up with their religion, when they came up with a lot of their ideas about life and you know, studying the cosmos. Like a lot of those cultures that really got heavily into that stuff were also really heavily into psychedelic drugs. Hmm. Like the Mayans, like making their crazy fucking calendars. Mm. The Mayans did a lot of mushrooms, man.
I didn't know that.
They ate mushrooms and raw chocolate together. Mm-hmm. There's some plant that had like an LSD like effect. They also took this. I don't remember what it was, but I went on a tour of Chichen Itza with this guy who was a professor. And it was really cool. Like, you could hire him as a guide. Mm-hmm. And he was so knowledgeable, man. It was just really interesting.
Yeah.
You know, him talking about all the different traditions and why, you know, this was created and that was created. But he took me to this room. He's like, this is where they did their rituals. They you know, were taking some sort of a psychedelic plant that had an LSD-like effect. Like, this was just like a culture of super-duper trippers.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, when you see see what they built, you're like, could not have been of sound mind when you came up with this.
It's not logical.
Not at all.
Structures.
Well, they got to some weird places, weirder than anybody, where they fucking killed people so often that they had like spots.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to kill them right here. This is the altar. They had altars where they would sacrifice people.
Sure. I saw one. I didn't, not in Mexico. I went to, in Peru, I went to Machu Picchu a couple times, and they had the like sacrificial room. They showed you they were like on this table. Just people would voluntarily be sacrificed.
But what's the utility
that
socially?
You have to be high as fuck for, I think. Ugh.
But what's the point? Is that the point to satisfy the gods?
Yeah.
You take a virgin or you take the strongest
there
guy
was,
or whatever?
There was a period in when the Aztecs, when they killed 80,000 people, some insane number of people over like... just a period of 4 days, when there was one of the temples that was being built there, they apparently, this is like, it's disputed whether or not they killed 80,000 or whether they killed, you know, whether it was only really 10,000 people exaggerated. Like, there's some dispute as to how many people were actually killed, but if the number there, they believe, is 80,000.
Jesus.
And that's this incredible. Was in 1487, the Aztec king, when they completed one of their pyramids, he killed every prisoner that like was part of the construction.
Whoa.
Yeah, so they like they fucking built this shit from him.
What a dick.
They built this shit for him, and then he kills some insane amount of people over the course of 4 days.
I bet that's a lot of voluntarily dying, too, you know?
I don't know.
I think so.
This was so crazy that, like, Duncan told me about this first, and then I read it, and I couldn't believe it. And then I told a bunch of different people. I go, did you know that this happened? And I've had people go, fuck, it did. No, it didn't. Like, totally incredulous, walk away from me. I've had to send them emails. When I won that hunting show.
Yeah, yeah.
With Steve Rinella, great guy, man. But really intelligent guy, very well read guy. And I told him about it. He didn't believe it either. He's like, "There's no way." I'm like, "I'm telling you. I'll send you the thing." When you send someone the actual, you know, different stories and depictions of this time in the 1400s, and you see that number, 80,000, can you even wrap your head around
that?
No. That's huge.
They're not doing this with guns, folks, okay?
Right.
Wrap your head around
right.
80,000 people getting cut to death.
Fucking the Rose Bowl.
In 4 days. That's
fucking slaughtered.
It's the Rose Bowl, you're right. Oh, my God.
Right.
Oh, my
crazy.
God, it is.
Everybody
Holy
there
shit.
Has their throat slit and their heart pulled out of their chest.
Dude.
That's nuts.
What a crazy motherfucker.
Yeah, that's insane.
Yeah, they took shit to the next level. Again, massive mushroom eaters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Trippers. Big time trippers. It's weird when you combine like a lot of the interesting things about those cultures. A lot of the interesting discoveries, there's very strange use of like an hieroglyphic-like language that it took us a long time to figure out. Like, they still work on some of the different more complex character things in order and debate like what exactly it means. Like there's a great documentary, I think it's from Nat Geo, called Decoding the Maya. I believe that's what it's called. And it's really interesting to see these guys, these scholars, trying to figure out what the fuck this was.
Yeah.
This crazy language.
Well, the other thing that blows your mind every time, if you see something Mayan, Aztec, or the Incans, is when you see what they built, you can take today's greatest architect and be like, how would you do this here? And they don't even, like, they don't even know where to start.
Right.
Like, how these things were built, perfectly constructed, and stones that weigh like 20 tons are laid on top of another stone and fits into it.
Yes.
They have theories. They're like, well, we think that they would pour water down here, and then you're like, how many people would it take to move this? And they're like, oh, like 8,000, and then we'd probably put it over here. And you're like, none of it makes sense. Mm.
Anybody that, like, there's a people that will try to debunk anything.
Yeah.
And anytime you bring up anything that seems even remotely paranormal, you know, like any, like ghosts or fucking aliens, anything even remotely paranormal, they automatically try to go, fuck, there's no evidence for that. There's no evidence.
Yeah.
When that's all well and good till you get to giant stones.
Right.
And there's something about moving giant stones. They're like, listen, man, you got to explain that.
Yes.
Yeah.
You got to explain that. You can't just say, oh, well, they did that, and, you know, they figured it out, and they cut it out of this quarry right here. Look, we have one.
Yeah.
There's one of my favorite pieces of evidence is they show this one of these giant fucking big stone pillars they were carving out of this this one giant piece of granite, and they stopped in the middle of the carving.
Mm-hmm.
But because of the fact that it was like partially completed, you could see the method of shaping it.
Mm. Yeah.
And it was really kind of interesting. Like they learned a lot from that.
Mm-hmm.
So they believe that they did it with stones, and they believe that they did it slowly. Like it was a real painstaking process of slowly chipping away to get these. But how the fuck did they move it?
Yeah.
You got to tell me how they moved
it. There's no cranes. There's no bulldozers.
No, dude.
We have to assume that they had some incredible knowledge of leverage and moving things, and they figured out how to get things under it and leverage it and move it somehow. But to pretend that that's not a mystery is really kind of disingenuous.
Yeah, it is.
But don't you, I find that, I mean, also too, human thinking changes over time. And since the Enlightenment period and like the scientific revolution, we've discredited anything that's remotely ooky and mysterious.
Well, that's because there's so much ooky, mysterious stuff that's bullshit.
Yeah.
It's such a problem. There's so much bullshit out there, whether it's ghost bullshit or UFO bullshit. There's so many nutty motherfuckers with fake Bigfoot stories
that
are just muddying up the waters.
Right.
There's so
that's
much
true.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
So, of course, a smart person is going to gravitate towards the scientific and more likely explanation for almost everything.
That's very true.
But it's not explaining everything.
But it's not. That's the thing. It's leaving things that are valid, you know, not the bullshit story, but it's leaving the real thing also, like, unexplored or unexplained, and people just go, like, nah, whatever.
Well, what science can't figure out is emotions and artwork. And why do we like beautiful things? And why do I love hearing certain songs? Why has it changed the way my body feels?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what does it feel like to kiss somebody that you love? Is that really just a bunch of chemicals that's floating around your brain? What is going on there? What can science measure that?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, the emotional human aspect of life is the one thing that science can't really truly define yet. But who knows, man? We might be able to break it down one day to ones and zeros, and you just program the right ones and zeros in your head, and you're happy all the time.
Let's do it. Let's keep dreaming, man. Let's dream all day.
You ever talk to someone like who has a problem with like normal consciousness, and they need something like an SSRI or something like that, and then when they take it, they talk about how like they finally can like see life.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna be able to engineer that in people, like
yeah.
I mean, I guess we're doing it right now by people taking pills.
Like just the meat and the cheese of it.
Well, the levels of certain things that make, you know, your consciousness operate. Certain things like serotonin and dopamine, like the levels of these things, like how these things are produced by them. They're going to be able to manipulate that shit.
Oh, yeah.
And they're going to be able to manipulate your mood. Like, you're going to be, like, way happier.
You're also going to be able to program, or they'll be able to program the genes that are more desirable and leave out things that are not.
Yeah, you know?
Well, that's one of the things I always felt. Like, if you look at those, the standard image of the alien, you know, the gray-eyed, the big gray skin, big-eyed alien, they're like real flimsy bodies, big giant heads. If you look at them, and you look at us, and you look at a gorilla, they look more like us than a gorilla. Okay?
Yeah.
They do.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, that might be what we're going to do. We're going to get rid of all the whole sex organ thing.
And just
we're going to design these, like, bulletproof bodies that can see through walls, and we're just going to take that on.
Big heads.
And then we're going to reproduce. They're going to be able to figure out a way to manipulate your genetics. And there's never going to be a dumb kid born again.
Sure. Or develop a new language, too.
Dumb people, and your fucking kid's going to be five going, hey, stupid, why are you doing like this?
Right.
You have this fucking super genetic freak kid at five. He already learns three languages.
We'll stop speaking English at some point, or any real. We'll have a new language. Junata, and that'll mean everything.
Well, no, we'll just communicate with our consciousness.
Oh, right.
We don't even have to speak anymore.
I wonder how much different the world would be if we all had the same language.
I know.
Makes a huge difference.
I wonder how much, you know,
that'd be great.
Confusion. When it comes to, like, especially, like, with things, like, that are going on, excuse me, things that are going on in the Middle East.
Yeah.
You know? I don't speak Israeli. I don't speak Hebrew. I don't know what the Palestinians are saying. I don't know what the Saudis are saying. Right. I don't know what the Iranians are saying. I can't even hear that. I don't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
So we're reliant on some, like, have you ever seen, like, some of the translations that were, that were attributed to Ahmadinejad? The is that his name? The Iranian
Ahmadinejad. Yes.
There's like people take like things out of context that he said and make it like much more inflammatory. I mean, he says plenty of inflammatory shit.
Yeah.
But they manipulate things, and we don't know about that. We don't know about that unless you really go and look. And if he talked English, we would know.
Oh yeah.
Motherfucker, learn some English.
Yeah.
It's very the true. Other
right now, Iranians and fucking listen to this podcast in Iran are like, bitch, I thought you were cool.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, too.
Just kidding, folks.
It always.
A universal language. We should learn Farsi.
There you go.
That?
Universal language.
It always blows my mind, too, because it brings to the point when people say the word fluent, when they say they're fluent in another language, and you realize what it really means to be fluent. Because people can speak a lot of a language and still miss tons of things, misunderstand things, and definitely not like I speak pretty damn good Spanish from growing up in a Spanish-speaking household, and I've watched like court shows where they have an interpreter for somebody, and I've been like, that's not what he said, and that like the person said it, you know, like that. I've watched translations like UN things where you'll be like, oh, that person speaks, let's say, fluent Spanish. And you think, you're like, no, they speak great English too, but it's actually like they speak 90% good English and can miss a word, an intention. It can be shuffled around. And like when you misunderstand something by a word, or I'll have it, you know, in Spanish, where I'll, like, you think I'm pretty much on point, but you miss just a little thing, a little detail that you don't miss when it's either your native language or you're so immersed in a language that you truly are fluent in it.
Right. You're thinking while you're talking.
Oh yeah. And like, you know, I mean, if you live in a country where if you live in your second language country, you can over time, I think, really speak tremendous whatever that language might be.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Like once you when you're surrounded by that language 24/7. But short of that, like you really do miss things.
You do.
And then I'm saying that's also what leads to misunderstandings, lead to argument, leads to, you know, confrontation and violence sometimes because you misunderstood something. There wasn't even a disagreement. You just didn't say it right or understand it right.
Yeah. There's apparently there's a new app, and it you can talk to it, and if you're talking in whatever language, it translates it back to you in real time in English.
Hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. I haven't. Do you know what I'm talking about, Brian?
No, I have no idea.
Yeah, have you heard of this?
No.
God damn it, I have to find about this. I have to Google search it now because somebody told me about it and I haven't looked into it. But this is apparently something either
that's
they're working on and it's going to be released soon or it's out now.
Because there is, like with my parents who are Hungarian speakers, and I can understand stuff, But even when I speak to my father in English, right? Like, he has a whole different understanding of English.
Yeah, of course.
As I do, and a different like, when he speaks Hungarian, I still don't really understand.
Yeah.
Because of the different time and space that we grew up learning a language in.
Yeah.
Like, even generational between your father, who is American.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he didn't grow up with the same TV shows that you did or know the same references.
Right. Yeah,
like,
you can miss.
Almost
you
impossible.
Can misunderstand each other even then.
Yeah,
yeah, this is a real thing, okay? It's an app that translates languages during real-time phone calls.
Wow.
So you can call someone and you can be talking to someone and in real fucking time, it whatever they say in French or Spanish.
And it translates it to you.
It translates it to you in real time.
Wow.
Wow. Wow.
That's incredible.
That's nuts.
Dude, we should try it.
I know.
Yeah, we should. But we don't know any other languages, yeah. So we wouldn't know what the fuck.
I could call a Japanese girl.
No, you don't know shit. So
Dude, have you ever been to this is Kings of Taiwan website? Did you see that tweet I did today?
No, it's, no. What
it's
is it?
Kings of Taiwan. I was on Amazon last night looking up books, and it said like where it says recommends to you, and one was recommends to you Taiwan hookers. And it was a Kindle book.
What?
And so I was like, what the fuck is this book? And I started reading through it. And then I was like, oh, wait, this is from a website. Somebody just took it and made it a book on Amazon.
Oh.
So then I started going on this website. And the next thing I know, I'm looking deep in this like report of how to get hookers in Taiwan and how there's like it's accepted there.
Whoa.
And how like it is so interesting. But then I found myself like on orbits, like how expensive is it going to go to Taiwan? Like, what am I doing?
You were thinking about going to Taiwan.
I was lost, dude. I was lost on sometimes you just get lost on that barrel on the internet.
Yeah,
you know,
you
just
really
not really just keep on going.
Fall down that hole, man.
You were thinking about actually going to Taiwan?
Well, it looked really nice. I was looking at videos on YouTube and it looked like really pretty there and
dude,
stuff. And then people were saying it's like it's better than Vegas, you know, like it's like way better than Vegas.
But
it's,
don't they
please.
Put you in prison just for smoking pot there?
No, no, you just don't do drugs or anything. I mean, you follow the rules. They have articles on that website about all the laws there. And what to do, where to stay, and what soapies to get.
The Shaolin.
Who has the youngest?
That would be dangerous.
What's a soapy?
Soapy.
So you guys never been to Taiwan?
No, not yet. We're planning on going for the Vegas experience pretty soon.
For the better than Vegas experience. It's just really hard to get people to leave the country.
Yeah.
Especially now.
Yeah.
You know, like, but if you're looking for a place with really good hookers.
Do it, man.
Yeah. That's
no, I mean, not for the hookers.
We're not the world champs.
And report back to us. Yeah, by no means.
I meant more just for the nightlife. It seems like it just seems crazy there.
We
sing that song? I love the nightlife. I love the boogie.
Oh, the disco.
Who sang that?
We just had Yoshi on our show.
Oh, powerful Yoshi.
And
talk about a man who's seen too much.
Dude.
Yeah.
He believes in strictly the hooker experience.
Oh, poor Yoshi.
And
Yoshi is our friend.
He said Frankfurt is great, and so is Amsterdam.
Frankfurt?
Mm-hmm.
Is that in Germany?
That is.
Yeah.
Yoshi is a stand-up comedian friend of ours who always worked for porn companies.
Yes.
So we would be at the comedy store and Yoshi would roll up with like a box of DVDs.
So
and he was always giving you, Asian Sensation, check it.
Oh, yeah.
Take your DVD.
Yeah.
I think we had a box
thanks
of...
Thanks for giving me stuff to beat off to.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Actually, we did.
For a long time.
Part of
years.
My collection was, it was secondhand Yoshi.
Right.
It was DVDs that Yoshi had given people that they gave to
fingerprints and shit.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
It was all fetish.
Secondhand Yoshi?
Yep.
Yeah, that fetish stuff is strange as fuck. Like, dudes will, like, jerk off on girls' feet and shit.
Yeah,
like,
there's a lot of that.
All that weirdness.
My favorite was Specs Appeal.
Oh, yeah.
Which is just girls in glasses.
In glasses.
That was
and
fun.
Guys were always like, here, go! And all over the glasses. And she's like, you got on my glasses. I can't. I'll try to go back to reading now. And then they would always try to read their next sentence.
My friend got she does bondage stuff, and she just got a letter the other day that was like, hey, you know, I want to be your gimp. I just can't, you know, I have to wear a mask, but you can, like, peel off pieces of my arm and eat it if you want to.
What?
You could do anything
what?
You
who,
want to
what?
Me.
This is a person that you know? She said that to you?
No, somebody wrote a letter, an email to this person I know.
Oh. Oh, okay.
And it was like the most, and he sent attached a photo, and it's so horrible to look at. You look at it and go, wow, that's a serial killer right there.
Yeah.
That guy right there is a serial killer.
You know what they say about people that have like this thing where they're always hurting themselves? You know, like they're like cut themselves or pin, you know, like some people like have like crazy like genital piercings and shit like that.
Yeah.
They think that some people that do like really freaky shit might have a problem where they're not experiencing pain the right way.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. And it leads them to more and more extreme, things to like really jolt themselves and feel it.
Yeah. Well, some people clearly don't have the same pain threshold that would say the majority of people have. You see some people do things and you're like, how the fuck did that not hurt you more than anything?
Well, you know that guy that got fucked to death by the horse?
Yeah.
That guy had piercings all over his balls.
Yeah.
Oh.
His balls were like a 3-ring binder. Mm. I'm not joking. He just click clack, click clack, click clack, click clack. So like this guy was just—he was a straight up lokester. It wasn't just getting horses to fuck him in the ass.
Right.
He was like running metal through his ball bag.
Right.
Horses
crazy. That horse fucked him to death.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember
the craziest
that.
Thing too about the horse fucking and the being into that. Is the horse dick is second to the horse thrust.
Mm.
Because an animal thrust, like a thrust from a horse is impossible. You can't, you could line up 8 people and be like, don't let them push. And that horse is fucking
strong.
Through you. Yeah, man.
All they eat is grass, too. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Can you imagine if grass is a solution the whole time?
To everything?
Healthy as fuck and just run for 100 miles.
Yeah.
Horses just eat grass and they're yoked.
Yeah.
They really are.
It's crazy.
It's a good diet, right?
They're so swole.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, is there any animal more swole than a horse?
I was about to say they're like thoroughbreds, and then I remembered they are thoroughbreds.
Like, if, like a thoroughbred horse. Like, and there's no animal in the animal kingdom that is more like yoked.
God. Yeah.
And they're fucking beautiful.
Yeah.
Like, you see them, you're like, that looks like a majestic
animal. Yeah. The fact you can actually ride it and get it to do shit. It's
really and with you on its back, it's like, how's 35 miles an hour sound? You know?
Yeah.
And you're like, all right.
Well, you
I don't
know,
fuck
though,
with horses,
the real problem, though, is like the people that want to do those like jumping things and, you know, all that other kind of crazy shit with the horses, like those sports.
Oh, yeah.
The equestrian sports. Yeah. People die. During those things. Yeah. That's how Christopher Reeve got fucked up.
And the horses get fucked up a lot, too.
Yeah, I don't get that.
No,
I just feel like, you know, that's a scary proposition right there. You're planning on this animal listening to you. What if it pulls a muscle?
Yeah.
Are you ready for that?
I'm out.
That shit's... If you understand, like, bodies, you know that animals, they strain things. They break legs. They twist ankles.
Yeah.
Shit goes wrong. If shit's going wrong while that animal does that, you're attached to that fucking thing, and it's going to spike you into the ground with all of its weight on top of you.
Yeah.
Dude, fuck riding a horse.
Fuck riding
fuck
a
horse.
Horse.
Yeah. I'm
fuck
not about
a horse.
It at all.
I got bucked once. I would never
give me
go
virtual
back.
Knuckles, girl. I'm with you. Fuck that.
Fuck
like, I think
that.
They're beautiful, and,
they are.
And I wouldn't mind riding a horse, like a trail horse and stuff like that, as long as, like, it's... cool horse that some guy had and took care of. Like, you know that this is like an easygoing horse. It's always been loved.
Or like
and
old
treated
Millie,
with respect.
The older one who's been hanging out for 70 years.
I'm totally down with that. But the real problem is these fucking equestrian events. We got them jumping over shit.
Yeah.
Like, woo.
Well, not only that. Yeah.
That's
not respect for this beautiful, magnificent beast. I mean,
but it is
kind of
cool to watch him jump.
It is, but I mean, have respect. Like you said, this animal also has a mind of its own. How do you know what it's going
to
do?
It's tired of you.
How do you know it wants to do that bullshit?
Yeah.
You think it wants to do that?
It doesn't want
to
do that bullshit.
Yeah, you don't want someone on your back.
Especially because the animal can clearly see that there's nothing to the left of these fucking boards and nothing to the right. It's like, why am I jumping when I can just go to the left?
Right. And I've seen that. I've seen that I've seen footage of that before where the horse goes like,
stop, stupid. Why am I jumping this, man? What am I, your fucking...
We got options, man. We got options. I'm going around.
Yeah. This is fucking stupid. Why should I jump? You're on my back.
We should have a jumping contest. Just us. Who do you think jumps highest?
The highest?
Not me.
I think Joe.
Brian, are you broken today? Something? You want to
I'm broken. You gave me that joint, whatever the fuck was in that joint.
I told you, one hit.
I did take one hit.
Do you have a good vertical?
I could probably jump decent. Not like nothing shocking.
That is the one of all like the, you know, the physical things and attributes that you can desire, like I wish I could do this. Or, you know, when you're with somebody, especially if they're your size and they have an amazing vertical leap, it's the fucking most fascinating thing
to watch them.
To watch it, because it's totally natural. Like, I've been with people my height that can literally jump 15 inches higher than I can.
What?
And you're just like, holy shit. And it's the thing I was like, man, and it's not from, and the people that I've seen them do it wasn't through like by training every day, but it was just that's how high I could jump.
I jump it's every day.
Yeah, it was. I jump all day. No, it was just a natural, hereditary, like, or whatever. Just, they were just born being able to jump through the fucking roof. And I think it's the
so personally, that's what Bo Jackson was like.
That's one of the most amazing physical specimens in recorded time. Is yeah. Bo Jackson.
He's still got records in the NFL Combine. Oh, I think he still holds the record for the 40.
Does he really?
I think so.
Watching that guy. See, that was like watching a human horse.
Yeah.
Like that. It really was. That guy is an unbelievable athlete. Like,
somebody who wrote a book about him was talking about it. I wish I could remember the guy's name. I should Google it.
Look up Bo Jackson highlights from football. When he was at Auburn, or when he played for the, if he didn't get his hip injured, there is absolutely no telling what that guy would have done. He would fucking. He was so fast that he was like, you know, he was like the fastest guy on the team, but it was on like a 225 or 230 pound body, so he could truck people too. Like just lower his shoulder and just he would deliver hits. You know, he would give a concussion out with the football in his hand.
Wow,
that just. Unbelievable physical specimen, Bo
Jesus
Jackson.
Jesus Christ.
And he played professional baseball just because he liked baseball, too. You know, just one of those guys who was like, oh, how about I'll also play another professional sport.
And be awesome people, at it.
Yeah, and be awesome at it. And just home runs. I remember watching him. You ever see a guy? Because I saw him do this for sure. There's footage of this. Bo Jackson breaking a baseball bat over his
over
leg.
His knee.
And like you
he would do it
him.
Like it was nothing.
It was like a twig, man. He was like, boop, like he was breaking a candy bar. Be like, yeah. You have half, I'll take half.
Yeah.
Like he would just snap that shit. Fuck, I struck out.
And apparently, like, he was always able to do freaky shit. This guy was talking about that when he was young, he used to be able to jump over cars. He could jump over the hood of a car.
Yeah. I saw a guy do that.
Dude, that's crazy.
That's like one of the things I was talking about. I saw a guy do that who was smaller than me, shorter than me, you know? A total fucking just yoked dude. He played running back. He actually broke California state records in high school, and he did that. He jumped over the hood of a car, and I was like, that is amazing to watch. I mean, amazing.
And it's crazy.
To watch a guy like that sprint, you're like, oh, dude, I could run forever and never sprint like that.
Jesus.
Like that's, yeah.
Yeah, there's a kid that I saw on a video who jumped off a roof, did a backflip off a roof, and it was like a three-story or two-story building. It was the most ridiculous shit I've ever seen, and the kid made it and lived and it was fine.
If you want to see like that's incredible. If you want to see like a crazy other level, like type of
athlete.
Running athlete, like you just see like, oh, this is another gear that they have that other people just don't have.
Yeah.
If you look at there's this guy that plays football for like he plays for the Bills, I think now. His name's C.J. Spiller, and when he was at Clemson, there's highlights of him like where he would stop in the middle of the field. And there's like five guys surrounding him, and then he just turns it on again. But he goes to like fifth gear before they get to first, you know?
Right.
And like that's like he just got to his gear so much faster than them. But those are all like dynamite
athletes.
Yeah. You know, and you're just like that doesn't make sense. Like or like Devin Hester is this guy who he plays for the Bears. He's you know, a well-known returner. And if you watch his highlights, the thing about him is that he hits, they say like there are guys who have faster 40 times than him, but he hits his highest speed immediately.
Whoa.
So it's like he gets the ball, and then he's just like, "Here, I'm running as fast as I can the first second I have the ball." Whereas everybody else has
ramps
to
up.
Yeah, and you're just like, "Holy shit, he is!" Like he hit fifth gear immediately, and you
so
see
his
the other guys off the
gate explosion
is what's,
fantastic.
Yeah, it's incredible. It's incredible.
there's no even playing field.
Yeah.
The idea that there's an even playing field when it comes to human beings is crazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just by looking at the different sizes of us, there's a reason why we need weight classes, okay?
Sure.
And the variables inside of weight classes, those are also pretty extreme with some athletes. Some people just aren't that coordinated. They don't move that well. They don't have that kind of power. And then there's guys that can just learn things like immediately. And they can run like a gazelle and they can do shit to you that you can't do to them.
It's yeah.
And they were out of the box like that.
Yeah.
You know, there's guys that are out-of-the-box athletes.
Did you ever think about how unlikely the total package of LeBron James
is? It's crazy.
That is a 0.001% like package.
A crackhead. 6'8". gives birth to him. How about that right there? Yes, his mom
really?
Was a crackhead.
Was she a crackhead?
Yes. Not only is his mom a crackhead, his mom allegedly was fucking one of his teammates.
Oh,
that's right.
Is that true?
Hot sauce in my bag. Delonte West.
Is that true?
Yes.
He banged.
Delonte West, man.
His mom allegedly had a substance abuse problem. Okay, she gives birth to this giganti super athlete.
That's amazing.
Who moves like a panther, a giant panther. Mm. You know, if LeBron James was in MMA, do you know how many people that guy would be fucking up?
Oh yeah.
Oh my.
If you train that guy,
if that guy wanted to fight, if he had the will to fight,
yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, in high school, he was all state. Tight end playing football, because people always talk about, can you imagine this son of a bitch playing football? He stopped playing, I think, after his sophomore season. It was all state, this is going to be somebody you're going to have to deal with.
Right.
And stop playing. But you look at that body, 6'8", 270, and
imagine
he has no body.
Oh. Jordan learned how to fight.
You know, Steve, I thought LeBron did play football this whole time.
Oh, Jesus
what
Christ.
What team is he on?
You didn't know?
I know.
LeBron James.
Oh, basketball.
Here's what I know about sports is whatever Tom tells me.
Oh, you don't watch anything outside of that?
No, I like tennis. I used to watch that.
What about ladies golf? Do you still?
Yes. That? Every day.
Joe, she isn't gay. Come on, man.
Is that the case? That I've heard that said before.
What's that?
That Dinah ladies Shore? Golf is like a lot of gay chicks.
I think it's
probably.
I think there's a little bit
which
of
I support 100%.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Always do.
Look but at there's the poles. Look at the sticks they use. There's definitely.
What?
He's trying today, boy. He's trying.
There's definitely.
He just loves anger on Twitter. That's what it is.
Gay. I like golfers.
Anger on my Twitter?
I don't know who watches ladies golf. I'm not sure what the audience
they are amazing
is.
Ladies golfers.
That are golfers.
Yeah.
So essentially, just a bunch of lesbos.
Yeah.
Sitting around staring at each other.
They are. It's amazing how good they are, though. Yeah. Fuck, man.
Well, it's one of the few groups that lesbians have been able to really. Grow like it's lesbians can't they have a hard time getting a community.
Yes,
you know, like gay dudes have massive communities all over the country. Like there's parts of the Tenderloin and if you go to the Santa Monica area,
Castro and
West Hollywood,
West Hollywood, Santa Monica Boulevard.
That's
a goddamn gay area.
There are dudes
they've all conglomerated. They know where the party's at.
And
you drive by. Yeah, but that place on Hollywood Boulevard. The West on Santa Monica Boulevard, that West Hollywood spot, that is the gayest spot on earth.
I'm sorry, which one? Let's
that area, that whole area
that
while you're driving.
Yes, yes,
Santa Monica. Yeah.
Is that Club Rage still there?
I
don't go every week.
That's the flagship club.
That's the one that's on the big. That was the one.
Yes,
that,
I think.
You know where Doheny is? You know where I was coming down Doheny, and I'm at the red light there, and it was a Saturday night, and it was fucking beautiful weather, and everybody was out, and it was a gay party on the streets, man.
Yeah.
And there was these two dudes, and they both had their hands, their fingers looped into each other's belt loops,
nice.
And they were like interlocked, like kind of scissoring and just grinding dicks together. And I was like, I can only watch this a certain amount of time before some gay slips into me. I gotta get out of here. Like this, it was like a fucking bomb had been ignited, and I had to get outside the blast radius.
Yeah.
It's like there's a gay bomb here.
But they're so happy.
They were happy as fuck.
Joy. Well, we used to live next to a bear bar in Silver Lake, so you'd have to walk past the bear bar to get to Trader Joe's.
Oh, whoa, whoa. That's a specific type of gay bar.
Oh, it's so wonderful. And so, like, you know, Tuesday nights is like...
Rim Job Tuesdays.
Rim Job Tuesdays.
They have the big sign out front. It's Rim Job Tuesdays.
And they had a huge rooster in the back, and, like, these guys just partied.
They partied hard.
They loved life.
And you'd hear, like, you drive by. You could be having, like the most... quiet, lame kind of night. You're like, there's nothing going on. And then
Sunday.
As you pulled up, you're like, you're like, oh, there's some dicks grinding going on right now. And like, you're like, neighborhood is alive now.
No, and the best part, there was a security guard that would stand outside.
Oh, yeah.
But because he was in front of a gay bar, you didn't know if it was just a costume like the first few times.
Yeah,
so like,
you see him, you're like, that guy's going all out tonight. And he's like, no, I'm the security guy. He had a mustache and his little
a mustache.
Yeah.
There's very few that pull off the John Stossel.
Yeah.
You know, that thick upper mustache.
Sure. They commit to that, man.
That's a strange one.
Yeah.
That's yeah, I always wonder that because people usually mock the mustache, no, mm-hmm. or they rock the ironic mustache.
Movember,
yeah.
But in the gay community, it's like, yo, fucking, I'm down. Yeah. Are you?
I saw a guy the other day. It was beautiful. He had Timberlands on, and he had cut off jean shorts, and he had like one of those leather scally caps on, and he had a jean jacket that was sleeveless.
Nice.
He was fucking ridiculous.
That's like,
and this was like right after I worked in San Francisco with Greg Fitzsimmons.
Yeah.
Greg Fitzsimmons fucking killed me. He got on stage and he goes, "This is the last city where there's real faggots." You can see a guy with leather pants and a handlebar mustache. Oh my god, it fucking crushed too because it was so true. He goes, "These unabashed animals."
Yes. Yeah, that's fucking funny.
Really, like if you, that guy,
you described, like if Cock was a company, that's the chairman and CEO of Cock.
Timberland
in charge.
With the fluffy socks, you know, the socks are kind of scrunched down, and the Timberlands are like open, and then he's got cut off jean shorts and a jean jacket.
Jesus.
He was just so gay.
Yeah.
Sure.
Sleeveless.
San Francisco?
This was in Santa Monica Boulevard.
Oh, Santa Monica. Okay.
Yeah.
This one, the gayest guy on earth.
On earth.
Is in Santa Monica. The only one that comes close to him, I was in Houston once, and I wanted to congratulate this guy. Well, the way he was rocking it. But I didn't want to offend him, so I let it go. But he had leg warmers on that were rainbow.
That's okay. Already.
Rainbow colored leg warmers on. And he had these little designer, like, they looked like some odd tennis shoe type thing that he was wearing, some very trendy tennis shoe. And then he had these boys' gym shorts. These remember those gym shorts you used to wear where they were blue with the white stripe? And they were way too small. They were way too small. Okay. And he's a frail man as it is. And then he had a pink, skin tight shirt. And some crazy multicolored bandana. And as he was working out, he's working out like this.
Like grunting.
Leg warmers, man. Yeah. This is the gayest man that's ever walked the face of the earth.
Absolutely.
This guy, if he got together with the other guy, they would create a black hole of homosexuality.
Yeah.
It would eat its way through the cement.
Eat wonderful. Cement and spit come back at you.
It would be a sinkhole of gay. If you slipped and fell into it, you'd fall prey to the gay.
You now, saw something.
Which one? I lived in San Francisco.
She lived
for
in San Francisco.
I went to college there.
You definitely saw the gayest thing that you can see.
Which one? There's so many.
You said during the parade one time you saw a guy.
Two guys fucking on the corner.
Yeah, on the street.
Just on the street.
Like,
we don't need to find a mattress or a bed or an alleyway.
If you see guys butt fucking on the street, you'll be like, that's the gayest street ever. You'll never forget that street.
At that moment, it's one of the gayest streets on earth.
Sure.
But I think it was during the Folsom Street Fair and all. That's like the gay Mardi Gras.
That's when I fuck on the street.
Yeah.
I like to limit it to fairs.
Don't bring your kids.
If you're willing to fuck on the street during a fair, you're a real gangster. Yeah. Like, you're out there just fucking breaking laws.
Jesus.
You're a part of the problem.
Hey, remember at the Bear Gym in our old neighborhood?
Yeah, yeah.
That some guys, so this thing also in bear culture is these big guys, they also like to build their musk.
Yes.
And that's another part of it. And Tommy one time, I think you were downwind of a guy. Weren't you? The fan was behind him or something?
Fuck, man.
And you could smell his musk.
Like, it was so strong. It wasn't like gym smell strong. It was like a personal body odor. That, you know, you can just tell when someone's BO is kicking.
But was it kicking because he was dirty?
He cultivates.
He hadn't washed it?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. It was definitely I haven't showered in in a while.
Maybe it's to ward off the smell of shit while you're fucking with your ass. You ever think about that?
I think it was just...
I mean, there's got to be something.
Well, he had such a pride. He had such pride about his musk. I could just tell, like, the way he was like, you picking up what I'm putting out there right now? Like, just look about him.
It's his genre. Yeah. It's a specific.
That I imagine that some people were walking through the gym that day like, thanks, brother. Like, thanks for putting this out here. Because you got me fired up.
You got me ready to do some squats.
Yeah, I'm ready to
do some. This motherfucker smell good. Damn. Damn. Yeah, there's different levels of like gay guys too, right? What they're into. Like some guys are just into other like crazy big gay guys.
Yeah.
Like, and some guys they're like twinks. They're like little tiny little boys.
Hairless.
Yeah. There was this dude that I
shave it down, brother.
That I knew that was a producer type character. So wealthy character that always had like these young boys with him. They were always like just 20 years old, a little confused. Like that's
I know was, a well-known comic who likes that.
One? Do you only know one?
Oh yeah, that's true.
I know several. Yeah, that's sort of that's kind of a type.
There's all types. There's otters, cubs.
Whoa, otters? What's an otter?
No, I believe an otter.
A young.
It's a tall, slender, hairless is an otter. As opposed to a big, hairy, fat, which is a bear.
And a younger bear is actually a cub, right?
A cub. So bears go with cubs. And cubs are just smaller and more malleable. But now I heard that the word twink is becoming taboo.
Twink
the way that
is
fag is kind of not cool to say. I think twink is starting to become in the
Everybody's fired up about this.
They're all meatholes.
You know?
Well, here's what happened. So, you know, Andy Cohen on Bravo, I think he went on some other show and he's like, oh, look at all these twinks here. And then the twink community got really upset and started tweeting him.
Yeah, I know.
And so he apologized to the twinks.
Oh, God. But isn't he gay? And
yes. He is so gay. Yeah, he's totally.
Oh,
but,
God.
He
apologized to the twinks. Everybody is just looking for an opportunity to be sensitive.
Yes.
We are in such a weird time.
It is.
It's like people have found reward in like pointing at like hot button things like that. Like, hey, you know, the twink community, we do not reach what you're doing. Like, oh, I didn't
or
know
being
the
offended.
The community was all organized.
You know who else is fucking super annoying? And like, this one's a way different level of like how fucking what assholes they are. Is this like 1 million moms?
What
group?
Is that?
It's just like we're mothers that are Christian that want to raise fucking like great kids and like, but we're completely bigoted, discriminatory assholes. They publicly lash out for this is like the second or third time at JCPenney for having Ellen DeGeneres as their spokesman. They're like, do you realize that none of us are ever going to shop there again because you hired Ellen to be your, like that kind of shit. Like, and they got really mad about her latest Christmas commercial with elves. And they're like, you have fucking a gay woman with elves. What's going to fucking happen next? Like
that's a
sodomy.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
I mean, what would happen
What
next?
Will happen you next know? If lesbians I mean, and elves
you
get
got
together?
Lesbians mixing up with magical creatures.
That's right.
Shit could get crazy.
Definitely.
What if they, like, develop some... What if they have nefarious intentions and they develop some sort of lesbian pixie
That's
dust?
That's right.
And they spray it over a city while they're flying around.
And your kids become
and everybody becomes lesbian
and
elves.
Yeah, we got a bunch of miniature gay elves running around.
Listen, man, you mock.
Now, I wonder, does the lesbian community have these genres? I don't know. I don't
know much.
Oh,
yeah, yeah. They have lipstick lesbians.
Oh, right.
They have
Butch.
Those Fred Flintstone looking lesbians.
Lipstick's the best, right?
That's
no
the
better.
Kind that you like.
Yeah.
The lipsticks is
definitely.
The pretty
that's
ones
what the straight
that kiss
guys
the other
like.
Pretty one.
Right.
Oh, yes, 100%.
Yeah, definitely.
The other ones are intimidating, especially if they want to fight.
Yeah. They're not always good at shows either.
They could want to argue.
I don't think they have the best sense of humor.
No, they can. They can be cool. For me,
they can be cool. They can be cool.
Of course.
Yeah, I like
it's
lesbians.
Like you can't really generalize a whole sexual
I
orientation.
Of course not.
Yeah. I've met a lot of cool lesbians.
Me too.
Yeah, they're great.
I've met a lot of annoying straight people too.
Yeah, everybody sucks in their own way. Yeah.
God damn it.
That's true.
That's sort of the anti-positive approach. Everybody's got their own special gift. Everybody sucks in their own way. He took that shit to the dark place.
It's true.
That's hilarious. And so true. It is true.
Yeah.
Right? We have a little something fucking with us.
I have to
There's
ask
no
you this.
Perfect
group. I wanted to get your thoughts on Pacquiao going down to Marquez.
It was crazy.
Crazy, huh?
Yeah. Well, Manny Pacquiao, first of all, is a super nice guy. Tosh and I filmed this thing with him where I played Daniel Tosh's manager, and he was going to let Manny Pacquiao punch him in the face for some strange reason.
Right. Fuck that.
And so Manny Pacquiao, he's very nice about it, by the way. He, like kind of tapped him. And I'm like, hit him harder. And Tosh is looking at me like, what the fuck, man? Trust me. He's not going to hurt you, dude.
Yeah.
Just hit him a little harder. You know, and even then, Manny Pacquiao just sort of popped, like, so gently tapped him.
Yeah.
You know, but he's so nice. He's, like, a really friendly guy.
Sweet.
Like, he doesn't have any, like, weird feeling around. Like, he's a super-duper star. He travels deep with, like, this giant entourage that's taking care of everything around him all the time. And he's like the nicest guy in the world. So that made me sad. But that's the game he's playing.
Yeah.
He plays a crazy game. That game is you are competing with your consciousness. You're competing with your physical health. You're competing against another man who's a trained killer.
Yeah.
And when he hits you, your body is just like any other body. And if someone hits you perfectly like he did, twice he nailed
twice. Yeah.
He dropped him with that first one, and most likely he was still hurt from that. Mm-hmm. But that second punch was so powerful. That was like the perfect punch, because Pacquiao was moving forward, and Marquez caught him moving forward and just crushed him in his tracks.
Mm. He was lights out on the way down.
Yeah, it was one of the worst or best one-punch knockouts I've ever seen in all of boxing. I think it goes in the top 10. It's like, I mean, that shit is right up there with Paul Williams getting knocked out by Sergio Martinez. Did you see that fight? Sergio Martinez has got a vicious left hand, and he's like super athletic and moves around a lot.
Yeah.
And he nailed Paul Williams like this perfect overhand left as he was moving in and just spun him around and face planted. It was just like that.
Jesus.
But I just didn't expect to see that with Pacquiao.
I think I was seeing some stats on it that was his first time being knocked out.
Yeah,
since 90.
Really?
Well, he hasn't got knocked down since 98.
I think he's been dropped.
Dropped?
I think he's been dropped. I
some
remember.
Incredible stat that like it hadn't happened since 98 that he was.
I think now that I think about it, I think Marquez dropped him in this fight before he knocked him out. That was the first time Marquez had knocked him down. He had knocked Marquez down before, but Marquez had staggered him before.
Uh-huh.
But somebody had stopped him earlier in his career.
Yeah.
He had been knocked out earlier in his career, but never like this.
This was
one of those knockouts that might just be a game changer.
Yeah.
That's a really – and, you know, boxers, what you're seeing, first of all, in Manny, is you're seeing a guy who's already had – before this fight, they had three crazy fucking wars.
Right.
Three wars.
Yeah,
back
brutal
and forth,
wars. Yeah.
Blasting each other. And how many of those can you have really in your life?
Yeah.
You know, there's a number. It might be 10, it might be 7. Everybody's different, depending on when you start, depending on how good your defense is. Mm-hmm. But you're going to get nailed. You're getting your head hit. You're getting your body hit.
Oh, yeah.
You got a lot of fucking problems.
And that, among other fights, training, sparring sessions,
Hundreds of
punches.
That was the point. The point is, what you're seeing is a tiny fraction of the actual damage his head has taken, because you're only seeing one fight. Mm-hmm. So you think about all the fights that he's had, all the punches that he's taken. It's a tremendous amount of punishment, as is. Then you have to factor in the fact that that is a fraction of the actual punishment.
Right.
Then you start getting an idea of what the fuck is really going on when you're training for a fight. Like, you have to have a number in your head. Or a feeling, or a time, or what. You got to know when to fucking get out. Because the more you do that shit, the more one day it's going to catch up with you. But with a guy like Pacquiao, it's super hard for those guys to just go out on top.
Yeah.
You know, Floyd Mayweather retired and then he came back. He almost went out on top. He almost said, fuck it, went out on top.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he's probably the most cautious out of all of them.
Floyd?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's the most cautious stylistically. Mm-hmm. You know, very rarely gets hit. When he does get hit, recovers very well.
Yeah.
Like Shane Mosley was the last one to tag him.
Yeah.
But he goes through entire fights where he barely gets tagged.
Yeah. Yeah.
He just boxes the shit out of people.
Yeah.
You know, and I love that. I love the fact that the guy's still, he's like, not only is he unbeaten, he's really unchallenged. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I think he's 36 now. I mean,
yeah,
that's
pretty
unheard of, you know? And he looks fantastic.
And his defense is so incredible.
It's insane. He's a brilliant boxer.
Yeah.
He's brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
And he probably would have boxed the shit out of Manny Pacquiao, especially seeing what he did to Martinez and what Pacquiao was able to do to Martinez.
Mm-hmm.
And then what, you know, the difference is Martinez and Floyd wasn't even close. Floyd just outboxed the shit out of him. I mean, he just couldn't get to him.
Yeah.
Floyd is just too good. He's too good at positioning.
He throws amazing punches. He recovers well.
Yeah.
And his people don't realize sometimes that, like, I mean, depending on how good whoever he's fighting at the time, that a lot of times he boxes gloves down because he's so quick. He doesn't pull up his gloves for a lot of fights. His gloves are down, and he's dipping around, like playing with people.
Yeah,
like, toying with
them. He does that shoulder roll thing.
Yeah.
where he walks towards guys with his left shoulder up high and his right glove by his face, mm-hmm. and they don't know what to do with that. And
right.
He's so good. His reflexes are so good. And now that Adrian Broner guy, have you seen that kid?
Mm-mm.
That upcoming kid? Mm-mm. Oh, my God. This kid's a monster. He's like Floyd Mayweather, but with more punching power.
Same, like, weight class?
I think he's 47. I'm not sure. He's just, or he might be 35. He's either 35 and struggling to make the weight and moving up to 40 or 47. Whatever it is, this kid's dynamite. He has that same style, that high left shoulder up.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Yeah, there's some fucking killers out there.
No
man.
Fucking lead glove for most of your, like, your left glove is down. It's crazy.
It is crazy, but they're so good at those duck and roll counter right hands. And you don't want to get clipped by that shit.
No.
And so, like, guys are real cautious. They don't know. And he's so good at, like, slipping jabs, so good at anticipating your movement. The best boxers are great at leading guys into certain directions and anticipating how they respond.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so, like, a guy like Floyd Mayweather is not, like, an impulsive guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's like a guy who's going to set traps for you.
Right.
So, like, he'll lead you in certain directions and see how you respond, and then lead you in that certain direction again and see how you respond, and then set you up for a time where he's going to lead you in that certain direction, and he's going to stop, bang,
mm-hmm.
and he's going to catch you because you do a certain thing over and over again. You know, you do a certain thing
with
your gloves and you move off the ropes, and he's going to catch you.
He's going to figure it out, too.
He's going to figure it out, and that's another thing that Anderson Silva does.
Yeah.
Anderson Silva, he moves around with the guy for like the first minute or two, mm-hmm. kind of gets a sense of how he operates, how he moves, feints him a little bit,
mm-hmm.
and then starts setting him up for death.
Yeah, for death, yeah.
Setting him up for a dismantling.
Yeah, Floyd's even, his defense is so interesting and so developed that, like, when you watch him box, sometimes you'll see him get up against mm-hmm. the ropes,
yeah.
and you're like, oh, he's up against the ropes, this guy might take advantage of this, and then Floyd somehow pulls it into his advantage. Like,
yeah.
his defense becomes his offense.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh no, he's fucking ripping this guy apart.
He's just too good.
Yeah.
He's so good at straight boxing. I mean, it's amazing. And he's a guy that's had a lot of hand problems, too. That guy broke his hands several times.
Time. Yeah. Oof.
So he goes for, like, the biggest, cushioniest gloves. And because of that, I think this, you know, because of his fragile hands, he probably, there's a lot of guys he doesn't knock out because of that very reason, because he's had, like, problems with his hands over and over again. But the way he knocked out, homeboy from England, what the fuck's his name?
Hatton?
Ricky Hatton. Ricky Hatton. Holy shit.
Yeah.
That was brilliant. And that was when Hatton was in his prime.
Yeah.
Hatton was an animal, you know?
Yeah, Floyd's so fast.
Boxed the shit out of him. He just boxes the shit out of guys. They just can't get to him.
You just remind me, I'm going to be in Vegas this week.
Yeah,
yo, Floyd, if you want to grab lunch, if you want to grab dinner, please bring Roger.
Yo, Floyd, he wants to be a part of Team Money, okay?
Money Tommy team, Bones. By the way, man. Big fan.
Tommy Buns is all about Team Money.
Is he fighting Cat Williams? Money Team. I want to roll with you. I need a new watchdog.
What is going on, man? Cat Williams hit somebody in the head with a microphone or something?
And he punched that dude in Target. And
he slapped that guy.
What is going on with Cat?
He got in a car chase with the cops.
He's working on a new hour. Give him a fucking break.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. So sensitive.
Wait, what was that? To bring back to me, we watched this 24/7.
Oh,
was that his uncle that trains
Roger.
Him? I love that guy.
Black Mamba.
Yeah.
He was a former champion himself.
Yeah,
Roger Mayweather had a vicious right hand.
What a great
the 24/7. Miguel Cotto is still my favorite, right? When Cotto's like, I know Floyd is a supreme athlete, great boxer, and we have to be ready for war. And they cut to Roger Mayweather. He goes, I don't give a fuck about Miguel Cotto. Not just that. You're like,
that's rad.
Well, the level of technique that Floyd has is so above and beyond everybody else he fights that he has that kind of confidence.
Yeah.
I mean, Miguel Cotto, especially during that fight, was a prime athlete.
Mm-hmm.
Margarito was the only one that ever really fucked up Miguel Cotto when he was in his prime like that and stopped him. And that was when Margarito was accused of having loaded gloves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because he got busted. In,
sure, he did.
One of his subsequent fights. But Miguel Cotto was a badass fucking boxer.
Yeah, with that guy.
But boxing with Floyd is like, he makes everybody look goofy. He makes everybody look, they look like they just don't really know what he's doing. They don't really belong in there with him. He figured you out early enough, and now every time you step, he's popping a jab in your face, and there's no retaliation. He's not there, and then and you look stupid.
You do.
And he slowly breaks you down. He's just so good.
He's a superb boxer, man. Superb athlete.
But if I had a choice between watching him and Anderson Silva, I'd be like, bitch.
Yeah.
I would way rather watch Anderson Silva fight.
Yeah.
It's not even a question. That's one of the reasons why I like MMA so much better. I like a good fight with Floyd Mayweather. You know, like if I found out Floyd Mayweather was going to fight Pacquiao before this last thing, then I would be super excited.
I'd like to watch that.
Yeah, but you know, when he's fighting, if he's fighting somebody that I don't give a fuck about,
it's like whatever.
Yeah, he's just going to box this guy up. It'll be interesting to watch. Sure, you know, I mean, but I can watch it on HBO next week.
Sure.
Yeah.
What? How? I've asked this before, but how famous is Anderson Silva in Brazil?
Oh, it's like Michael Jordan and Michael Jackson had a baby.
Really? That famous?
It's incredible.
That's incredible.
He's a super, super, superstar. They love him, man.
That's awesome.
The cheers when he goes on into the octagon, when he steps up the stairs and walks in, they close the door behind him. They're fucking deafening. I took my headphones off, and I said, I go to Mike Goldberg while I was talking to him on the air. I go, take your headphones off. Mm-hmm. I go, take your headphones off and feel this. He takes the headphones off. He's like, we're just looking at each other like, whoa. There's 20,000 people in Rio, and they are going fucking bananas.
Yes.
And Anderson walks in and bows, and they're going fucking ape shit.
That's so
And then
cool.
he goes out there and dismantles Stephen Bonner in a way that doesn't even seem human.
Yeah.
He did it like some fucking kung fu movie dude who just got bolted with some secret lightning power.
Right.
And like he had a superpower, so it didn't even make any sense. He did movie shit. He stepped with his back up against the cage and let Stephen Bonner throw punches at him with his hands down and just ducked and moved in front of him and then threw Bonner to the ground and knocked him unconscious with a knee to the body, blasted him with a knee to the body, and just boom, he goes down in a turtle position, done.
Wow.
I mean, the way he did it was like it was superhuman.
Yeah.
It was like a guy in a movie. Like if you saw a guy do that in like Born Identity, be like, bitch, nobody can do that. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Put your back up against the wall. Well, nobody puts their back up against the cage. Like, oh, how about the best fighter in the fucking world does that?
Yeah.
The best guy ever puts his back up against the cage to a big giant dude like Stephen Bonner.
Yeah. Big one.
Who's cutting weight down from like 230 to fight at 205, and Anderson fights at 185. And he still ragdolls the guy.
Yeah.
It's freaky. He's freaky. There's nobody that freaks me out when you watch them, when you watch like the shit that they can do to like really high level grown fighters. No one freaks me out like Anderson.
Yeah,
he's like you're watching a rare master. Like you're gonna get a chance to talk about this when you get old. You know, like there's people that will talk about like they saw Joe Louis fight.
Yeah.
That's all well and good. Anderson Silva would have fucked up Joe Louis.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And listen to me. I don't care what anybody says.
Yeah.
Anderson Silva in an MMA fight would fuck Joe Louis up. All right? You're watching something crazy. You're watching the baddest fighter that's ever walked the face of the planet. The shit he does to guys, even like really good guys, it's shocking.
Do you think he could beat Jean-Claude Van Damme?
I don't know. It depends on which movie it is. You know, if it's like one of Jean-Claude Van Damme's, like one of his signature movies.
Bloodsport?
You know, if it's like a Bloodsport 2, Van Damme has heart that you will never be able to appreciate. My heart. Have you ever seen him cry in his reality show? It's amazing.
Yeah, I did
he
see
has
that.
A show I didn't
he
even
used
know.
To, right? Not now.
Or Steven Seagal.
He
I remember
is
him.
Awesome. He's awesome.
Steven Seagal.
He's awesome in a totally different way than Steven Seagal is awesome as well.
Yeah.
But Jean-Claude Van Damme is awesome in a completely different way.
What was the movie that he came out with like a year or two ago? What was the movie that was like about?
What do you think? I'm crazy? You think I know what movies he's doing?
No. This one was actually good.
Come on, Joe.
Where he played
JCVD. Yeah, he played himself.
That's right. That was good.
I have that on Blu-ray.
I like that.
See, you know. I'm a fan.
Yeah.
I never said I wasn't a fan.
Yeah.
I love Jean-Claude Van Damme. He's still crazy. Okay? And he has a reality show. And he plays, I guess, I've only seen the videos on the internet, but you could readily get them on the internet. But it's wonderful. Okay? He's crazy.
Yeah.
Okay? And he keeps talking about, I'm going to have this fight. I'm going to have to fight one more time for the children. Like he has
that.
These like crazy ideas. I did, you know, they say, Jean-Claude, you did a lot of cocaine and, you know, you know, a lot of other things. I'm not happy about those other things, but I'm going to make it up with this fight and I'm going to win by knockout. And it's like so crazy and over the top. Like he's acting.
Yeah.
It's like this strange hybrid between a reality show and a movie.
Yeah.
And what he's doing is really strange. Because he's saying he's going to have a fight. And he's got this guy that he keeps dragging around with him that he's saying he's had. But the problem is he's been doing this for like 4 years. So this guy, for these 4 years, he's been saying he's going to fight.
Yeah.
Like, and they pose for stare downs.
For
and they,
years.
For years, man. I mean, for fucking
That's
years.
Weird.
It's still going on.
That's hilarious.
And he's still like, well, you know, I'm going to have this fight, and I'm going to do it for the children, and to show them you can bounce back from all of this bullshit and this cocaine. And it's
and the cocaine.
Fucking wonderful. It's wonderful.
Can we do that?
We have to watch this.
That might be it. That might be one of them. I mean, there's
that.
A lot of them. He's got a lot of them.
Can I do?
But generally, he seems like a really nice guy.
He does.
He seems like real friendly, and you know, he doesn't seem like he's trying to be a hard ass. Like even when he's saying like he's gonna knock the guy out, you're like, oh, come on, give me a hug. Come on, get over here and give me.
By the way,
you don't need cocaine, man. You need to stop.
You know that you said the it's like a weird hybrid between like reality and like.
Yes.
I think that's the new and next step. That's going to really develop for television is like shows like Duck Hunters, the Duck Dynasty.
Duck Dynasty. I love that one.
Where it's that family
God,
and you go, they go,
them.
This is a reality show, but it's clearly like it's produced too well.
Right.
Where you're like, there's no way. Like, these are real people. They're not, you know, they're not actors, but like all the moments are too well constructed. Like,
produced.
The
moments.
Wife comes in right at the moment when the guys are like fucking cutting a hole in the ceiling, and she's like,
Texas
what are you assholes
show.
Doing?
Yeah, it's so weird.
It's in Louisiana. Yeah.
It's Louisiana.
You done lost your redneck. I lost my redneck. Oh, man. You done lost your redneck.
Yeah. It's a funny show.
I'll show you I ain't lost my redneck.
Yeah. You're dating all these, what do they call them? Yuppie girls that don't eat frog legs. I love that old guy. The patriarch's great in that. The
it's
old
so
grandfather.
Full of shit, though.
It's full of shit.
Have you seen Swamp People?
No.
Okay, Swamp People is just, they should call that show Alligator Assassins, okay? Because it's just a bunch of motherfuckers that live in Florida and kill alligators.
Aww.
And they kill a fuckload of alligators, okay? They kill like 500 of them a season.
I went to
I'm
high school
kidding.
With a few of those guys. I think I remember them.
Dude, they kill a lot of alligators.
Yeah.
It's really freaky to think there's that many goddamn alligators out there.
Man.
And you know what's really freaky? A lot of people might not like this, but if they weren't killing those alligators would fuck and make more alligators.
Yeah.
And if you think of how many fucking alligators they're killing, do you know what kind of an infestation of alligators we must have in this country?
I know, right?
Jesus Christ. They're killing hundreds and hundreds of them.
And in Florida? Holy shit.
They have to.
It's still in up in people's backyards all the time, man. All the time.
When I lived in Gainesville, they were protected. You couldn't kill them.
Really?
When I was a kid, I lived in Florida.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I lived in Gainesville for 2 years. My dad was going to the University of Florida, and we used to go to Lake Alice. There's this like little lake there, and we used to feed the alligators marshmallows.
Get out!
Yeah, you'd flip throw the marshmallows in the water. You'd be like, "Whoa, these are crazy monsters! We're feeding these monsters."
Yeah.
But they didn't really fuck with people too much. They occasionally would like get a dog. Like if someone they walked their dog too close to the water. Didn't see the alligator. Alligator can't help themselves. But I guess they would feed them or something. I don't know. I don't know what the fuck they did. They must have done something to keep them happy if they were around people. But apparently it got to a certain point where there was just so many fucking alligators they had to do something about it.
Oh, yeah. I went to high school in Florida and, you know, you would see them
everywhere.
Golf courses. You see people's backyards. There are a lot of people have pools in Florida.
How often do they kill people, alligators?
I don't think it happens that often. I don't think it happens that often. But I mean, I'm sure there's statistics on it. But I don't remember a lot
of one a year, maybe.
Maybe one of those
kind
of things. Yeah, I know people lose, you know, limbs and people go to get their golf ball and they go into the little pond or the lake and you can lose a hand.
Yeah, I think you got to be fucking with them.
Fuck.
I think you let that ball go.
Yeah,
what you do, man.
Fuck.
Get a new Titleist.
Jesus Christ.
Leave it in the water. Yeah, absolutely.
So terrifying, man.
But I don't think they like human flesh. That's not their first. I know because in crocodile, like when
they
I was on road
shit.
Rolls,
they'll eat a bag of shit.
They will.
Yeah.
They would eat people. They just haven't.
But
they
have license plates and tires and
but
shit.
But it's not their preference. Like when we were on road rolls in Australia, we went to a crocodile farm, and like the guy that owned it was explaining how they don't really want to eat us.
What?
But if they're hungry and there's nothing else, that's when they'll fuck with you.
Yeah.
If you're down by the fucking swamp and you're like, oh, hey, what are you doing here? And then it'll grab you and death roll you.
But I think that the only reason why they don't do it is because they don't recognize us as a food source.
As a delicious meal. Mm-hmm.
Because they don't usually eat us.
Right.
But once they recognize us as a food source, that's when it becomes a real problem.
Yeah.
Like there was one they killed in the Philippines recently, and it was fucking huge, huge saltwater crocodile.
Ooh.
And it had killed a bunch of villagers. Like they knew that there was this one giant crocodile. It was more than 20 fucking feet long.
Yeah.
And it was killing people. And they had to go after it and get it.
There was that one that was like killing a bunch of people, wasn't it, in Canada? One that the movie is based on. Like they made
Canada.
A crocodile
in Canada?
Or no, some lake. It was like some northern sitting lake. It was
really?
About not a croc, maybe a gator. Right, that's what the movie's about. It's like
what,
a horror
movie. Is
lake,
oh, shit.
Lake.
I remember what you're talking
about. Not Lake
about.
Michigan. Remember the movie Lake Michigan?
No.
Was it Placid?
Lake
Placid.
Yeah.
Lake Placid, the movie.
That's based on a real story.
Get the fuck.
I swear to God.
Yeah. Get the fuck.
I met one of the. I think I met one of the writers on that who told me that. Yeah.
What?
I'm pretty sure, man.
Because once I get
it's
like
it's based
20
on.
Feet.
I might be wrong on the location, but I know it's based on a real. Murdering gator. I think.
What? A murdering gator?
I think so. Is that right?
Maybe, babe.
What's the true story of Lake Placid's alligator? Let's go to Wiki Answers. How beautiful is this day and age?
It's in.
You can just do that.
Remember when you used to have Encyclopedia Britannica?
That shit was whack as fuck.
I know.
The story is based off the 1943 mysterious disappearances of 10 teenagers while playing one night on Lake Placid. Okay, so it's just a rumor.
Okay, but the movie adds the gator concept to it,
yeah,
or something?
Well, apparently it became a legend because it happened in 1943, and so people would talk about it, and so the movie is like based on this actual monster, and it's sort of a
it's a factual story.
Tom's right, guys. Tom's right.
Yeah. Don't send me your tweets or your emails about how I'm wrong. I'm right. We just read it on the internet.
Basically, it's in what you said cannot be argued.
There you go.
Yeah, what a that's a dumbass movie. fucking alligator.
I think okay.
I know.
That alligator would be freezing his dick off.
It's in New York,
there,
right?
Lake Michigan.
Is it? Is that where it took
Hudson?
Place? Is that where it took place?
Yeah.
30-foot-long man-eating crocodile, which terrorizes the fictitional location of Black Lake, Maine. Mm. Oh, that's even more ridiculous. Maine is only like thawed out for like a month a year.
Yeah, that
Maine
is
cold
Maine,
as
there
fuck.
You go. So I wasn't that far off when I said Canada.
New York State's
right?
pretty close. You know. Canada's close to Maine.
Sure, there you go.
You were in that
true
box.
Story.
Yeah,
there you go. Write it down.
That's a
winter gators.
If you think about like a perfect nightmare that's chasing after you, it's a giant reptile, right?
Oh yeah,
easily.
Because they're so emotionless and cunty and just they don't they don't give a fuck.
It's a dinosaur, right? It's like it's just an extension of a T-Rex chasing you.
It's an animal that has virtually not changed for 200 million years. They existed in this form 200 million years ago. What the fuck, man?
So that's strong. They're all muscle.
And they're just like the cleaning systems of ecosystems.
Yeah, right.
They're like they're the cleaners. They come in, anything that's limping, you're done,
you're
son.
Done.
Anything that's jacked, goes and tries to get water out of the wrong spot, slam, keep the population down. Yeah. Boom, are you trying to cross this river? Not.
Yeah.
You ever seen those river crossings with those Nile crocodiles?
Oh, yeah.
Step up and just huge dinosaur jaws clamp down on wildebeest and drag them underwater. And you're like, what is going on here?
I always feel like
this is a system that's set up.
Totally.
A life system, life and death. There's a population control mechanism in effect.
Mm-hmm.
Big cats and alligators. Crocodiles. Is it any coincidence that's the place where there's the most gazelles?
Oh, yeah.
Those fucking things are running around everywhere. Yep. And everything's running around everywhere. Wildebeest and all these things. Just giant things trying to eat them and keep their populations down.
The footage of that is always the same. If you watch those Nat Geo shows, there'll be like these 50 gazelles crossing the river, and you're like, I wonder. And then, like, 3 seconds go by, and you're like, oh, there's one that's not with the pack. I think we should watch him for a second. And then you watch him kind of limp in, tentatively cross the creek, and that croc comes up and is like, game fucking over.
Oh,
I love it.
They're such machines. They're so terrifying. And they can be under that water for hours.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have to breathe for hours. So they sit under the water waiting for someone to come by. And then the water's all fucking murky and shit. You can't see that big dinosaur waiting there to eat babies.
Oh, man.
That monster.
And how perfectly designed is he?
Oh,
where
God.
When you see
terrifying.
Footage
the
of his eyes just out of the water. So it's just up like just over the water.
And
you're like,
horrific,
shit.
Horrific monster.
I remember, this is going to sound really lame, but on Road Rules, we had to put a bag over a crocodile's head.
Oh, my God.
So first you have to clamp its jaws shut and then duct tape it. and then you put a bag on its head, and then you step, you sit on it. You have to sit on it to hold it still, and that's how we would transport it, like, for one of the missions.
Oh, that's hilarious.
That was, so this guy Kiefla on the show, he had a pole, and he was trying to rope the crocodile's neck, and the crocodile went into a death roll.
Oh, Jesus.
And his shirt got caught in the pole
and started
to twist around his arm, and it was cutting off his circulation.
Oh, my God.
And everybody was like, holy fuck! Like, when that really happens on a reality show, like, you don't know what to do. So he was just screaming, cut the shirt! Cut the shirt! Cut the fucking shirt! And I'm like, there's no scissors in the Outback. Right, like, somebody had to rummage through their sound kit or whatever.
And this thing was still spinning?
Spinning and spinning. And it
was big is this alligator?
It was medium size, 10 to 15 feet long. Like
so
a teenager.
Was its teeth clamped down on his shirt?
Yeah, so you clamp the jaws shut, and then somebody duct tapes their the jaws together.
And somehow or another, it got a hold of the teeth.
So the next part is you have to put something around its neck. Uh-huh. And so Kiefla was using a pole with the rope at the end of it.
Like a loop rope.
Uh-huh. So they loop it that
way. Right, right, right.
So he did it, and somehow this crocodile like got latched onto it, maybe in his jaw.
The rope,
and he just started death rolling.
Oh, wow.
So the pole caught his shirt on his sleeve and then tightened the sleeve. So we had to cut the shirt off of him.
Jesus Christ. You
got
to wear spandex when you're fucking with crocodiles.
Yeah.
This is very important. You'd be all tucked up and ready to sprint.
Real talk.
Think tank
you need
top from now on.
You need cleats as well. You don't want to be slipping.
No,
for
dude.
Sure. Jesus Christ.
Dangerous.
They found Nile crocodiles in Florida. Have you heard that?
No.
They have a shoot to kill order on Nile crocodiles in Florida. They spotted a couple of them.
So people transported in Nile crocodiles.
Jesus. Yes. Some fucking
you
assholes.
Yeah.
That was probably some dude who's trying to guard his cocaine. I know what I'm going to do, man.
Right?
I'm going to have a fucking mole with Nile crocodiles. Those big ones, 28 foot long. Eat a motherfucking wildebeest in one bite. You're going to fuck with my cock.
Some Colombian,
definitely. That's right. Yeah, yeah, that for sure.
Well, didn't those dudes back in, like, the Miami Vice days, didn't, like, those dudes, like, have, like leopards in their backyard?
Rico
and
Tubbs, right?
Yeah, those
not
guys,
those
too.
Guys. I mean, he had a crocodile in his boat.
Yeah.
Right. Remember that?
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Or an alligator, some sort of a
he did, dude.
Lizard.
It was
he
on
did.
His boat.
That's
yeah.
right. It was chained up on his boat.
Jesus.
That's what I'm talking about. During that was the douchiest era. That was the douchiest era in all of humanity. Those 80s, the 80s cocaine days of Miami is the douchiest era of all time. Everybody wanted to have a pet tiger.
Yeah.
You go over to this guy's house, he's got fucking peacocks walking on his front lawn. You're like, what's happening here? And then, you know,
all my shit.
This is my python collection.
My shit.
What we do is we grow them to about 10 feet long and just take them out of the Everglades. I mean, you can't control them after they're 10 feet long. But I just get a new one and, you know, start from scratch, retrain them, make no big thing. Just releasing pythons. That they fucking have pythons out there
pythons.
That are 20 feet long.
It's
in
the same
Everglades.
Dude who has, like, grenades.
Some
like, I got 100 grenades in the living room.
Well, I got rocket launchers under my couch, but I don't tend to use them.
Why do you have
that,
man?
If you want to blow through a wall, you know, if there's a wall in your way.
That's why I got a Puma. In my weight room.
Yeah, I got a Puma that I keep there for inspiration. Sometimes I don't feed him. He get real hungry, I'll be lifting weights right next to him.
I got some wolf colors.
Motivation.
It's just the fact that he eyeballing me, knowing that I look delicious and nutritious, and he's starving to death. And they make me do more squats. Make me do more squats.
I got paper plates with diamonds on them and shit.
Well, what was that shit in New York City? I saw a reality show where someone, they would buy like baby crocodiles and shit and keep them in the bathtub.
Yeah, well, people do that. There was a guy who got
cool guys.
I think it was either Brooklyn or the Bronx, but he got mauled by a tiger that he had as a pet in an apartment.
Tommy's got a joke about that.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to give up your bits.
No, man. No, it's just funny. It's an old one. But yeah,
it's an old joke?
Yeah.
How's it go?
Not that, I mean,
come on, hit it, buddy.
Nah.
It's
too long.
I'll do it if you tell me the words.
I talk about another guy.
I'll do it.
I talk about the guy. What's it called? That had the animals at his house and he released them. You know, remember?
The guy in Ohio, yeah.
I have a bit about that that's on my
he
new album.
He killed himself, right?
I'm not plugging it or anything.
Did he kill himself?
Yeah, he did. He killed him. Well, he cut up. He released them all.
Right.
And then I believe he cut up, like, some chickens and, like, poured the blood all over himself and with dead animals on him.
Right.
And then, like, you know, he had lions and shit that he released.
God.
So he got fucked up by everything. I think he might have been dead before
they got to him, but they eventually, like, animals were pulling his dead body apart.
Whoa. You know?
That's a crazy way to go out. I've never heard that before.
Whoa, yeah. that's a dude who really loves animals.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Part of the ecosystem.
What a silly fuck.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the whole zoo life is really a crazy torture that we do so that we can look at animals in real life. Because they don't even allow them to live a natural life while in captivity. It's one thing if we had them in an ecosystem that was similar to their own. So we put them in these containment areas, then we let loose antelopes or whatever the fuck it is that they get to run and chase down and kill.
If that was the case,
I think that would at least be like a rewarding life for these cats. Yeah. When you keep pushing that meat out to them and they don't get any sort of chase reward thing going on, we see like they play with each other, like they want to chase things, like it's a part of the whole dynamics of their organism. Like they're designed to chase and kill shit. They're designed to kill all the limpid shit. And so you put them in this cage, you're just like jolting their brain, like they never get a chance to express what they were put on Earth to do. It sounds fucked up, but
it's depressing.
But you mean, what are you gonna do? You're gonna stop the gazelles from breeding, and you're gonna control the gazelle part? Put a few fucking gazelles in the cage with them, okay? Yeah. Just let them in.
Yeah, and then invite me to watch it. I'll pay extra.
Well, here's the key. What's the difference, goddammit, between the meat that you're giving them? Because you're giving them meat. Someone's killing an animal, and someone's giving him that meat. Why can't he do that? Because you know he wants to.
Yeah.
Well, someone else is killing it. It's not like you're saving an animal. Someone else is killing a fucking animal, and you're cutting it up, and then you're sliding under the tray. Why not just let a cow loose and let them go? You know.
And talk about driving up revenue, like because if they were like, "Hey, it's an extra 70 to watch," I'd be like, "Here you go."
Well, you know that's what they do in Asia. In Asia, really? When they feed tigers, they release goats. Brian, pull one of those videos up. You ready to freak the fuck out?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
And this is like a common theme apparently in Asia. They when they have tigers, they just have this big dump truck, and they have the dump truck with a couple of fucking goats in it, and it deet, 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 and the goat doesn't know what the fuck is going on, but the tigers do. You know what? Because a new goat gets dropped off like that every day.
Yeah.
So the tigers like stand there and stare while this thing backs up and beeps, and they just wait, and they get real close to it, and as soon as the thing opens, the goat dumps out, and boom, they jump on it, 3-4 of them at a time, rip it apart into shreds in a matter of seconds.
That's awesome.
And they run away with like one's got a head, one's got a leg.
Mm-hmm.
I love this.
You find any?
That's what they're supposed to do.
Wait till you see this shit, because this is a weird thing to see. But this is what they want to do.
Yes.
Okay? I mean, if you're going to kill that goat anyway, if you're going to feed them goat, why wouldn't you do that? Because then at least, I mean, it's still fucked up that you've got them contained like that. But at least then they get to live a tiger's life.
I feel like the only reason we don't get that is because of, like, some type of animal rights organizations here that don't really exist in other parts of the world.
Well, I think,
you know what I'm saying?
I think our own lives for a lot of people are so fucking suppressive and ridiculous and restrained that we don't give a fuck about that stupid elephant. Tough shit, bitch.
Yeah.
Take your cage. I don't like my cubicle. You don't like your cage?
Right.
Here's
one of them.
Look at this.
All right.
They're just sitting there watching and waiting. These are lions. This is a different one. But they do, I guess they do with lions too. So they're just sitting around and they lift up this dunk truck. They're opening the door right now and the lions are just, they're just hovering right in front of it.
There's a,
here it comes.
There's
just
a lion there. This would be a shitty way to go. This guy's honking his, that beep is this guy honking his horn. He's trying to control the lions by honking his horn.
Yeah. Imagine if you're in this.
Good luck with that.
And you're hogtied.
Look, this horn ain't doing shit to these lions. Because they know. Here it comes.
Yeah, with the horn.
Now the guy's going to lift it up. It's really going high now. And the thing's going to drop out. Why is he honking with the horn, you son of a bitch?
Annoying.
Maybe he's got his dick out and he's really excited. Something's going to die. Hey, well, they're here. He pulled it out of it. There it is.
Oh,
my God. That's it. They just latch onto it and
like
just rip it to shreds.
Yep.
Look at it. They're all playing tug of war. There's like nine lions.
That's weird.
And another one tries to get in. This one pawed at him. See, that one's pawing at him.
I don't hear it. I don't hear it crying anymore. What happened?
Because that guy's honking.
No, I think.
Look at that. God damn it.
Awesome.
People are screaming.
That is awesome. Wow, I'd pay a lot to see that.
Holy.
This is what I'm talking about. Oh my god.
Is that a 7-year-old?
You do not want to fuck that chick. Is that a girl or a boy? If that's a girl, you do not want to fuck her. If that's a boy, he needs to be monitored.
Whoa. There you go.
He needs to be monitored. Look at that piece that it's at. Ugh. These are impressive, but these are lions. If you can find tigers, Brian, see if you can find tigers, because the tiger video that I saw is way more quick. Way more quicker.
That kid was spot on.
Way more ferocious.
But this does seem more humane, oddly, when you're feeding these wild animals.
Oh, it's totally more humane.
Allow them to be in their element, to be in their true nature.
That's what they're supposed to be doing.
Yes.
But we've already, I think that way is ridiculous with a slow dump truck.
Yeah.
But there should be a gate. And you should let a couple of them out in the morning.
Yeah,
you know, what the fuck are you going to do?
Why the dump?
I think the footage I saw one time was from the Baghdad Zoo was like that.
Terrible way to die. Someone's honking their horn. Oh. And all of a sudden they're playing tug of war with your body, just ripping parts off your body with these monstrous jaws and giant white teeth that penetrate flesh and just pulling you apart literally for your sustenance, for your flesh. What a suck world the world of the jungle is.
Mm-hmm. My God.
The world of the jungle is a motherfucker. Mm-hmm. Here's another one. This guy's, again, same thing.
Dump truck.
But this time it's tigers.
Ooh, it's tigers.
Look how much bigger the tigers are than the lions. Again, a motherfucker with a horn.
Yeah.
This is like sport for them. I guess they don't want them climbing inside. There it is. Oh,
oh
Jesus. Check this out.
That's
it's a
big.
Cow.
Big.
Well, look at this.
Oh.
Boom. Oh, my God. Oh my God. Listen to that thing make noise. Oh, there's biting. And he's decided he's killing it now. So he's just getting a hold of the neck. Look at that. That's it. He broke the neck and killed it. Look how quick he killed that thing, man. That's a cow. Dude, he killed that cow like instantly with his jaws. He just took it, snapped it, and killed it.
It didn't look like it took a lot of effort.
No.
It kind of looked like he was picking up a cup to have a sip out of it.
That was
like,
a cow one. I've seen it like, with the goat one's the most fucked up one because they just tear them apart and run away with the pieces. What a way to go for that goat. But if you're a goat, you got to realize, like, this is what you're here for. You're here to eat grass and get fucked up. Okay?
Yeah, you're not that high on the food chain.
One of these days, someone's going to find you slipping, and they're going to eat your ass.
Find you slipping.
Yeah, and you guys walk, you make a lot of noise. Mountain lions have good ears. They're just going to slowly sneak up behind you bitches, and someone's going to get jacked.
Damn,
the odds of you living to 10, pretty small. You got to get out of here?
No, I said, I can't believe how little effort that was. Like,
so easy to kill a cow. A cow.
I know.
Big ass cow.
It's huge.
Grab him by the neck, shook it, snapped, boom.
Well, would you rather be taken down by a lion or a crocodile?
I think you want a lion because the lion's going to actually kill you.
Yeah.
The crocodile just started eating you.
And they drown you too. They would drown.
They'll drown you. I mean, they'll eat your dick first. They don't
give a fuck. That's what the.
They'll eat your dick first.
That death roll.
Those crocodiles love dick.
They'll eat your fucking delicious dick. I think like that's the thing with bears too is that bears they don't kill you first, they just eat you, because what you want to do is get killed by a predator, because predators are always, if you're getting killed by something that doesn't always kill its stuff, sometimes it eats a lot of things that it finds laying around, whether it's carrion or whether it's berries or vegetables like bears. They just eat you.
Yeah.
They're not concerned with killing you. Once they have you, they have you. Okay.
Right.
They weigh 1,200 fucking pounds.
Yeah.
So they just start eating. Yeah. Why kill you first? I don't care if you scream.
It's good.
I'm trying to eat your dick.
Yeah.
And they just chew chunks of you. They say that the Grizzly Man documentary, when that guy
love
died.
Love it.
Amazing, right?
Love it.
Folks, if you have not watched Grizzly Man, it's one of the best unintentional comedies in the history of filmmaking.
It's what brought us together.
This is like
is it really?
It's kind of our love story.
Yeah.
Tell me.
When we were dating,
I
was like, I don't forget, but we were like, we got to go to see this movie about this fucking guy that lived with bears. I remember the news story breaking, you know, and we went and we're sitting in this theater. I think it was in Pasadena at
Lemley.
So it was more of like, it was playing in like the artsy theater. It wasn't in like the major release theaters. It was in the artsy theaters around. And we went and there was like, I don't know, maybe like 50 or 60 people at it. And the whole time, every like basically beat of the movie, we're in hysterics, like laughing, and the other 50 people are not. Like, they're all serious moviegoers that, like, really feel for the guy. And we're like, we have, like, tears. Like, we're laughing.
Our eyes lock.
And we're getting looks from people. Like, we're getting looks like, it's not fucking funny, man. You know, he's dead.
We loved it.
Oh, it's so funny, though. It's like, it does a disservice to his life to pretend that he wasn't funny.
Yeah, I agree. So
remember the pilot? The best line is the pilot... Who would drop him off, and he was like, he decided he wanted to go live with bears, and I mean, I thought he was retarded.
Yeah, that guy summed up that dude's entire life. My favorite part was when he was walking around with his camera, talking to his camera about how easy it would be if he was gay, but he's not gay.
Oh, yeah.
And he's, like, so obviously gay. And he's walking around with his camera, and he's, like, talking to it. I ran into some guy who his roommate, like apparently the grizzly man was in love with his roommate, and when his roommate didn't reciprocate, he trashed his apartment. Apparently he was a bit of an angry fellow. Like, if you ever saw the video, and like he's screaming and yelling into the camera, he does like a bunch of different takes. Fuck you! Fuck you, park rangers!
Yeah, the park rangers!
What the fuck are you doing for these pears? Okay, I worked it out. Worked it out. Try it again. Let's do it one more time. Yeah. He's got this, like, really obvious, like, sort of femme gay voice. Yeah, it's like, he's got that voice, like, this unmistakable,
the undeniable,
stereotypical, like, cartoonish gay voice.
Yeah. He does.
And so he's walking, holding up the camera, going, well, if I was gay, I could just go to a rest stop and meet a guy. But I'm not. Timothy Treadwell's not gay. And it's, like, the weirdest thing. Like, this poor fucking guy. Like, he was so torn up and confused and conflicted that he just decided to go live with bears.
With bears.
See if he can just
He misread the fucking newsletter and went after real bears instead of big guys like me.
It was crazy how close he got to the animals, like where the fox became his little
the
buddy.
The fox was his obsessed. And then remember when the bear poos? And he goes, look, it's so fresh.
He just came out of her butt. It's still warm. He's, like, touching her shit. Yeah.
Wasn't the fox called, like, Foxy?
Mrs. Cupcake. Yeah, the fox is Foxy.
What was the thing?
Hi, Mr. Also, Chocolate.
It also sounded so gay. When he got, remember when the bear approached him one time? A bear was approaching him, and he was like, fuck you, fuck you. Or, like, get away from me, get away from me.
I love you.
I love you. Yeah,
get the fuck away from me. I love you.
I love you.
I love you. Get the fuck away from me.
Yeah, like, he has to.
Oh, that's right. It was the reverse.
I love you. Get away from me.
He has to be stern with them. Have to be stern with them. No. You don't want to let them get in too close. Apparently, the death video, well, they never got a lens on it, so it's only audio.
It's audio.
They had the cap on, but the camera was running. It's 7 minutes long. It took them 7 minutes for the bear to eat them.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it was him and his girlfriend.
The bear
his then girlfriend.
The girlfriend hit the bear over the head with a frying pan, apparently, a couple times, and the bear was like, bitch.
And there was a sick bear, apparently.
It was a sick bear?
They found out, like, later on, I remember, you could look it up, that I don't remember if the bear had, like, some type of disease, like, I don't know, rabies or something, where it was not in a, it wasn't like a healthy, normal functioning bear.
It was hungry.
Yeah,
that was.
But it was.
I didn't know
because
it was
of something
disease.
Else. I, that's what I read.
The
I
problem with that is that they didn't really find much of the bear because they shot the bear when they flew over and they saw that the bear had killed these people because apparently a pilot saw the rib cage coming up. That's what he saw, and he realized that this bear was eating a person. He saw clothes, saw a tent, saw a camp. So he knew that the bear was eating a person. So the they got a guy, you know, one of the rangers, I guess, shot him. And then when they went back, I think it was like a couple of months later, there was nothing left.
Mm.
There was like, you know, there was just fucking a couple pieces of bone.
I thought they found them in the gut and the bear's insides.
I don't know. They might have. I mean, they might have processed the bear's guts once they killed them. It's most likely.
And by no means, you know, if you're listening, do not let this deter you from living with bears. Go for it. You know? It should be fine.
I'm addicted to all these Alaska shows, man.
Oh, it's really cool.
I watch all these Last Frontier shows, like Alaska, The Last Frontier, and the Yukon Men, and that is crazy living, man.
And you just went hunting somewhere up north, didn't you?
Montana.
That's pretty cool,
Montana's
right?
Montana's beautiful.
Montana doesn't give a fuck, okay? That place is, we went down the Missouri River into a place called the Badlands, and the Badlands does not give a fuck. You might as well have gone to the moon.
Really?
You might as well be on the moon. There's no one there. There's no cell phone signal. You
You ain't got shit. You got no radio. And you are in what is the bottom of a giant ancient ocean. It used to be the Great Western Inland Sea during the Jurassic period. Like, there was dinosaurs and shit roaming through that area. So the bottom, the ground everywhere is like silt. It's like that same like slippery shit on the bottom of a lake. So you have mountains that are covered in silt. And there's... They had homesteads out there where they gave people, like, you if you lived there, you could claim a giant chunk of land, and as long as you lived on it for a certain amount of time, it would be your land. Well, they gave these people this land, and they all left. They all quit. No one can. You can't grow anything on it. It's like this crazy, silty shit, and there's not, I mean, there's deer around, but, man, you got to fucking hunt for days sometimes to kill one.
Wow.
So you're out there camping and trying to catch these deer and bringing them back to your family. At a certain point in time, you're like, look, we got to get the fuck out of here. Yeah. We're going to run out of food.
Yeah.
And so they all did. They all bailed. It's just not reliable. And in the wintertime, it gets way too fucking cold.
Oh,
it
I
gets
bet.
So cold that the river freezes. The river freezes solid. And, you know, you got to cut holes in it and try to get fish out of there. Bitch, good luck trying to feed yourself like that. So they all bailed.
Wow.
So that's where we went hunting. It was fascinating.
That's pretty awesome.
It's like, it was literally like going to another planet. It was so humbling. You know, to live outside like that for 5 days in that kind of environment is really, really, really humbling, because you start to feel like, you start to see, like, how, first of all, how fragile you are, even just the temperature. Like, it was 12 degrees out where we were. We're sleeping outside. It's 12 degrees. So you're bundled up in this sleeping bag and shit and zipped over your head and trying to squeeze yourself to make your body warm. And it's 12 degrees.
Oh, my God.
12. And nothing gives a fuck about you. Yeah. And there's just a bunch of things out there eating other things. Yeah. That's all it is. It's deer eating grass, mountain lions eating deer. We found mountain lion shit, this big, thick rope of shit with fur in it. It's like, whoa, son.
Yeah.
You know, you're seeing, you know, this is the food chain. This is this one really harsh ecosystem.
Yeah.
Well, even that survivor guy where he goes out, he went to, like, Scotland, and just on the other side of the hill, like, there's people living, right, at the moors or whatever on the other side. He tries to spend the night there where people do live, just out in the wild, and he, you know, he almost freezes his dick off. It's fucking cold. It's an
Is this the real survivor man or that other guy?
I don't remember which one it was.
Because that West guy, the guy who slept in hotels.
There was a guy who slept in hotels that made it seem like he wasn't?
Yeah, you didn't know that?
No.
Well, first of all, the real guy is Les Stroud. Les Stroud is the real guy. He goes out he goes for 10 days now, films it all himself. He's the real deal. He's legit. But that Bear Grylls character, that dude is apparently, he's some like military guy. He probably is like sort of a survival expert. But when he was doing that show, he was like faking a lot of shit. Like, we just came upon a seal carcass. Now we can use this for food.
That's
like,
the guy.
That guy. He's like, he didn't really come across a seal carcass. Like, they put that thing there, and according to Les says they made Man vs. Wild because they were always trying to get him to fake shit, but he wouldn't fake shit. We had him on the podcast. He was talking about
it. Oh, cool. Okay.
He's like, I wouldn't fake
things. I'll listen to that.
Wow.
Yeah, so he told me that that's why they got Bear Grylls to do his show. They're like, we'll show you. We're going to do the same show. Do your own show, but we're fake everything.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, everybody found out they fake things, and nobody wants to watch it now.
Of course.
I don't watch some dude pretending he's sleeping in the jungle, or he's helicoptered into a four-star hotel in the disco at night.
Yeah.
Drinking margaritas and...
They just put him back there in the morning. And he's like, oh, what a night.
Getting massaged at a spa. He's getting his feet massaged.
Yeah, well, a night in the jungle is not pleasant.
Yeah.
But thankfully, I can drink my own piss to stay hydrated. Don't drink ocean water, but drink plenty of urine.
I love that shit, though. I love all that stuff.
I love the real shit. I can't watch the Bear Grylls show. As soon as I found out that they were manufacturing scenarios, and he's just showing you, I understand what they're saying. They're saying he's showing you how you would survive if you came across this. So let's just make this happen and have him deal with it.
Yeah.
But he did a lot of shit that was like you would never do, like really dangerous, risky shit, like jumping off of things. Like, why is he jumping off of this? Like sliding down the sides of mountains. Like, why are you doing, it like this? This is like seems dangerous. Go sliding into an ice cave. Like, why? There's nothing in there for you.
Yeah.
Don't go in that.
And you're not preserving your life.
Yeah. Jesus Christ, what are you doing there? Avoid that cave. Just a crazy asshole.
Totally.
But that's what they want you to do. If you tried to like make a Tom and Christina, your mom's house reality show, do you know how much fucking bullshit you'd have to deal with?
Yeah.
For sure. First of all, because you guys don't have a big enough name to carry it just based on that. So they're going to have to promote it. Right. So they're going to have to say, well, you know, Tom, look, I know you're a well-known stand-up comedian, the world of stand-up comedy, but people don't know you as an actor, okay? So you know, we're going to need some help with this. You need to help us along with this. We're going to get your show going.
What do I need to do?
Yeah, what's our show,
look,
Joe?
It's not all reality, okay? What is reality, okay? We're going to make some things happen, and you just do your thing. When the thing is really happening, we're just making it happen. Yeah. We're like, oh, yeah, okay, sure. Okay. So next thing you know, you guys are in marriage counseling. You're having a fake argument, you know.
There's a walrus in the backyard.
And you, how are you going to deal with it? You lost your redneck.
I love
my redneck. Done lost your redneck.
Well, I'd love to make that show if you're proposing.
No, I'm telling you don't do it. I'm trying to tell you not to sell out. You're like, I'm selling. If you're buying,
no,
I'm selling.
Definitely not.
No way.
Well, that's the thing about you guys having this podcast. Your podcast is perfect because nobody tells you what to do. Like all podcasts,
right?
They really represent what the fuck you're thinking.
Yeah, totally.
It's you don't lose the message in the producers or you know network notes or any of that shit.
Yeah, it's really what you want it to be, and that's what's cool about. Like the different circle of podcasts, like especially like ones that feel like are, you know, they sprung off from like people that you're associated with, mm-hmm. is that each is like a representation of each of everybody's personality and who they are. Like, you know, Skeptic Tank with Ari is, it's so, like you're getting, that's who Ari is and that's what he wants the show to be.
Yes.
And, you know, Joey Diaz is the same way.
Church of What's Happening Now.
Absolutely. Then I just did
Duncan Trussell Family.
Absolutely. Duncan is that's a total Duncan experience. Mm-hmm. And you're getting to know the guy. And then Bert just came out with a podcast. Bertcast. I did the first episode. I should say I just sat there and laughed on the first episode because it was in Bert's place. And he had Joey Diaz and his father and me in this room, and Bert is you know, he's steering the ship. It's what he wants it to be. That same thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you just sit there listening to Diaz and Mr. Kreischer, and it's the fucking funniest thing. I was crying. I was in tears. It was so funny. And what we do in your mom's house, it's exactly what we want the show to be. That's the most fun about it. Is it's totally what we want it to be.
We're so lucky right now, right? Don't you feel that?
Sure.
Like, feel
this
so
is
fortunate.
The best time to be a stand-up comic because you don't need the big networks now. If you want to do your fucking hour, you don't need to go through Comedy Central. If you want to talk to your audience, you can reach them directly through a podcast. Yeah. They can download it any time of day or night. It's the best thing.
And what's really cool about this is that people that get into a position where people are paying attention to, then they can tell you about some other cool shit.
Right.
Sort of like retweeting.
Yeah.
You know, like I love retweeting because people send me some really fucking cool articles.
Yeah.
And I'll retweet those, and like a lot of it is like really interesting shit. Mm-hmm. And there's no way you're going to accumulate all that crap on your own. Like you need some help out there.
You do. You need some help.
And that's one of the cool things about like having a successful podcast is like your podcast now has a big following. You could tell them, hey, watch Bert Kreischer's podcast. Listen to Bert Kreischer's podcast. Yeah. This is a new, and now everybody goes, oh, awesome. And then they go, wow, I like the way Tommy thinks. You know, Tommy makes me laugh. Christina makes me laugh. Mm-hmm. They're saying that this is a great podcast. I'll go check it out.
Yeah.
And then it branches off, and they can do that, and the next person, and Ari can introduce a new one. And
absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yep.
I mean, that's the coolest thing about it is, like, we know so many people that are really fucking funny, but in this day and age, before podcasting, it was really hard to get your name out there, like
absolutely.
Just as a stand-up. Mm. You had to have some TV credits in order to be in a club.
Yeah.
And even then, like, it takes a long time for people to, like, take enough chances on you and the word of mouth and returning to a place over and over again. Mm. Like, to build up markets, it's a long, hard road.
Yeah.
But now all they have to do is be funny.
And
you know?
Podcasting, too. Like, this was kind of an experiment for me was I spoke to you about it. I also spoke to, like, Bill Burr, Al Madrigal, about putting out an album on my own.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys, I'm saying separately, all encouraged me to do that.
Yeah.
And I did it on my own, you know, put it out. But podcasting is the thing that got really an audience for it.
Yes.
You know?
Like
I put it out there, and the whole, like, success of, you know, doing this thing on my own where you feel kind of like you're an entrepreneur. Like, I'm just going to – I'm not going to go the label route. I'm just going to record it, and I'm going to, you know, put it – just do it on my own and putting it out there and then seeing if it works. But seeing that the success is basically because of the audience we built from doing podcasts.
Yeah, you know? It's a crazy connection too. And don't you feel like kind of obligated to be in communication with these people?
Absolutely.
And like connect
absolutely.
With them? And,
absolutely. And there's
and keep making more content for
absolutely.
Them.
And,
yeah. Yes. And, yeah. And it's so cool when the stand up now, like I think the last That's time the I thing. Saw you, I was like, hey, my audience isn't there yet. They're coming now.
Yeah.
And it makes such a difference when I look out and I can see that they know who I am and I recognize them and I see that we have this wonderful connection and to talk to the people after.
Changes
and you're like,
everything.
Oh, this is awesome. Like, this is what I've wanted for so long.
Yeah, we brought Brian on stage in Austin and they went fucking apeshit.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Brian got like a standing ovation going on stage in Austin.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And did you ever watch that interview Alex Jones did of us? That was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was good. It was really cool.
Really good video.
It was cool,
video.
Yeah. Alex Jones came back and he may or may not have gotten high.
Oh, wow. Shit. I did.
May or may not.
I did Brian's like little Death Squad tour in Ohio a couple months ago, right? A month ago.
Yeah.
And holy shit. When you were brought on stage, the place went fucking crazy.
Yeah,
man.
It's
crazy.
It's a completely different world now because of podcasts. You could literally make people famous, like in the real world. Like they walk around, like, you know.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
It's cool. Yeah.
But it's like everything that that comedy networks never were. Comedy networks were never really comedians networking. This is like a real comedy network.
Exactly.
Because
exactly.
All of us, it's like, you know, if I tell you, go listen to Joey Diaz's CD, and I'm crying laughing when I tell you that, you can trust me. Go listen to that shit.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like we know what Ari's tastes are like. You know, we know what Duncan's tastes are like.
Yeah. You get to know
it's
them.
It's a rare time, man. There's never been a moment like this for entertainers.
No.
Where you can just sort of do your
you're
own
so
thing.
In connection with your with the audience that wants to be with you. You're connected to them. Before, that would take a fucking pen and a pad and a letter.
Jesus!
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mailed this to you.
And they get to know the real you, which is an interesting facet of celebrity now, I think. And I don't know if it... Like, it seems like in the past, celebrities had to have two lives. Like, there's your public sphere and your private... And now those two spheres are merging, and they almost have to because of this technology. Like they
have access to the real you.
Yeah, and it's kind of cool. I mean, obviously there's drawbacks to that as well.
If you're a douchebag.
If you're a douchebag.
They're going to know who you really are.
Yeah.
Correct, yeah. Yeah, right?
Yeah. But I think that's ultimately where the whole world is headed. The no secrets world.
I agree, and no shame world.
Yeah.
Because everything, this generation's growing up in public.
Mm-hmm.
Not like we did. There's no notion anymore of like, keep that photograph in your locker. Like now, put the photograph on Facebook. Right. Everyone's going to see your titties. Yep. Everybody's going to see everything.
See them titties.
Put them titties in my face, girl. Yeah, it's these kids today too. If you stop and think about how silly you were when you were 17,
oh my god!
Can you imagine how many pictures of your dick would be online?
Oh my god!
There would be chapters. There would be like gigabytes of my dick.
Torrents. There'd be torrents of your dick.
My dick would be everywhere.
College
I would
courses.
Be famous for being the dumbest kid. With
right.
And zip send files. It in emails.
Oh my
I would just upload it everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
I would dick roll everybody instead of Rick roll. I would release videos where the video would start out with some music and then I would jump out with my dick.
And funny ones too, though, right? With like sunglasses on your dick.
I would do whatever
I
could to get you to look
at
my dick. If I had access to that when I was 17, anonymous access, you'd all be seeing my dick. This is just a fact. I'd get it out there.
So great.
Absolutely.
Imagine these poor kids today. Anything they do, and someone recorded. Photoshop makes a Photoshop of them.
Forever.
There's hundreds of Photoshops of me and with a woman's body, with a dude banging me. There's a lot of them. I mean, not just
I did half of them. Oh, red remember man. The real dolls I made of you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah,
man.
The Photoshop is amazing. Like what you can do and not do. Like sometimes you have to look at a picture and go, shop. Like someone's being like real subtle.
Fucking Mitt Romney's mom jeans photo.
So good.
That one is, that's Photoshop.
Yeah, it's
amazing. But you look at it and you're like, those jeans are really high on you. Yeah. You're not sure.
So
I remember,
high and so tight.
And they raised him up just enough to make it just
it's perfect. I did this political show for the web, for Comedy Central. I was a writer on it that Kyle Kinane hosted earlier this year, all leading up to the election. And the whole thing, one of the episodes, we were like, got to use this photo of Mitt Romney. And we had people like
doing research just to make sure, like, is this Photoshopped? Because like, it's one of those, you're like, this is so well done. You're like, no, that's not. There's no way it's real. But people were like lawyers were like, is this really real? Is it, like,
lawyers. They were asking, oh,
yeah, you know, like,
remember
network
when
lawyers.
The De La Hoya photos came out of him
yes.
wearing
oh,
women's
yeah.
clothes?
Yes. Yes.
And he had experts examine them mm-hmm. and show proof that they had been doctored.
Yeah.
And then later he came out and said, all right, it's just me. I got doing coke and dressed up like a chick.
That's great.
That's awesome.
He didn't want to come clean with that.
Yeah.
I like him even more.
Yeah. Well, I like that he probably got that monkey off his back. They probably fucked yeah. with him for
yeah.
a long time.
Yeah.
Plus, I'm sure.
I like panties. What's
that,
up?
That Russian chick, if she's still alive, she probably still tortures him with that.
Oh, yeah.
He's probably scared. One day she's going to do interviews and shit, and he's not going to be able to pay her off anymore.
Mm-hmm. Let's see the ball kicking video. Let's see that one.
All right.
Take it back home.
Yeah. What the fuck, man?
Ball kicks.
Too much. Too much.
Poor Oscar.
Yeah.
Do you think he likes to get ball kicked?
Probably.
Just like he's beating so many dudes' asses, he wanted
yes.
a chick to beat his ass.
Sure. There
dress
you go.
Up like a woman.
Makes sense.
Yeah. He got tired of being like super macho man and yes. just wanted to wear a dress and shit.
Well, they say the majority of dudes that are into S&M are being submissive or lawyers and high-powered people who have to be in control in their daily lives, and then they like a good ball kicking.
That makes sense.
Yeah. I control everything else. I tell people what to do all the time.
Wear a diaper.
So,
treat me like a baby.
Yeah, they like to shit
throw
themselves.
Pies at me.
Change me.
Call me Daisy. Yeah.
How can we save those people, folks? Is there anything we could do? Do we just accept the fact that they're just a part of the spectrum of
yes.
life?
I think you have to.
Yes.
That or Alpha Brain, one of the two.
That's not gonna
work.
Help.
All right. Well.
Alpha Brain and Shroom Tech together, maybe he has a chance. He immediately starts hill sprints today.
No, they're definitely... It definitely is part of the spectrum. That's the crazy thing is knowing that, like, you know, dude.
It's all normal.
That's all mm-hmm. that's all on there, man. Everybody.
Yeah, what the fuck, man?
I know.
What a wacky spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
The spectrum of human beings, you know.
And behavior, it's mind-boggling.
Yeah. Well,
some dudes like to eat people.
Yeah.
You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like, that's,
well, that guy,
that's out there.
That guy that killed his gay lover recently and chopped up his ass on
yeah,
camera and was eating
right.
chunks of his ass.
Yeah. yeah.
Mm.
On camera.
If they only had battle ropes.
Yeah, if that the guy in the bottom has some jujitsu, maybe he fight out of the position and get to the top, the mount, take the knife away from him. Okay, now you're doing better. What a shitty way to die. Guy kills you, fucks you, and then eats your ass on TV. Slicing it up.
Oh,
that is a bad way.
Christ.
What the fuck is with people wanting to eat people? What are you proving?
I would try it, though. I'd taste
if
it.
If you were dying of
what?
Starvation?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
What race do you think would be the most delicious?
Oh, okay, let's talk about this.
she thought about it.
Well, let's see. Okay, because I know in sushi I like fatty tuna the most because it's a nice fatty piece. So white people right now are pretty fatty. White
Doughy
American.
Fat.
I'm going to go corn-fed Iowa woman in the airport that looks like Sam Kinison. Fat lady.
I think that would be woman in the airport looks like Sam Kinison.
There are women who look just like Sam Kinison.
That would be good, but the fattiness would be more like a pork, I think.
It's like pork
tuna.
Belly. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it'd be like tuna at all.
Like
tuna's,
not the fatty tuna?
Well, even when tunas are slightly fatty, like the bottom area, that's lean as fuck compared to almost every other organism on the planet.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
still pretty
wanna,
muscular.
Yeah,
well,
you
okay,
want to look
maybe,
at a human, humans are gross.
Probably a lot of cysts.
A pork rind?
Really,
I like pork rinds.
Yeah, no, more like a roast.
Okay.
Like a fat, sloppy pork roast where the meat's just falling off because it's all made out of Cheetos and
yeah.
shit.
Yeah.
The only nutrition it's had is soda.
I'll take a kind of fat black guy, you know?
Oh,
exotic.
With black beans and rice.
I like perhaps some hot sauce.
I think, you know, the black guys are pretty, like, naturally muscular, so I take one that's kind of fat, so I get a nice mixture of, like, it's like a ribeye.
Yeah. I get marbled.
Marbled,
but not crazy.
Right.
Yeah, and probably it's the darker meat, too. It's probably more nutritious.
I'd go Indian because it's already seasoned.
That's a good point. That's a very good point.
But not a lot of meat on those.
It is,
not
right?
a lot of
yeah,
meat
it's
on
probably,
the bone.
With all that curry, they say that like pineapple flavors your loads.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm
right.
sure curry would flavor your rump.
Yeah,
that's
let's
right.
do it.
Curry
yeah,
and armpit.
You got curry in your fats.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the case with bears.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with bears, you want to eat a bear that gets shot after it eats a lot of blueberries. The bears that, like, if you eat bears, apparently it's like some of the most delicious meat you can have.
Really?
Yeah, because it literally changes the way their flesh tastes. And they're fat. Their fat has all this like blueberry in the fat. It's
oh,
crazy.
That's delicious. Yum.
Yeah, it's really nutty.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's do a trip.
Let's go kill a bear.
Let's go to Alaska.
What about you, Joe? What's your
racial choice?
That's
obvious.
Probably Asians.
Oh, it's obvious. Yeah. How come?
I just know Joe's type. He's either Brazilian or Asians.
Yeah. Probably would have like Asians aren't known for being the most muscular.
Okay.
Probably be a good. Get a good cut.
Yeah.
Did you ever hear about that one guy from Japan who murdered a girl, cooked her and ate her, and then got off like on some insanity case? So he was only incarcerated for a small amount of time.
Yeah. Did he keep her for a long time, like in a closet or something?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. Something along the line. I forget the guy's name. But he was famous for
Yoshi Obayashi.
How dare you? That's not true. That guy, I'll pull it up. Japanese.
Well, I mean, give the guy a break, man. Like, so he had a bad, you know, did a bad thing.
Well, she probably did something wrong, right?
She probably said some shit. She shouldn't have said.
Yeah, she's talked a lot of
talked
shit.
During the football
this is
game.
His name, Isai Sagawa. It's pretty fucking crazy. And apparently this dude has described openly. In 1981, he murdered and cannibalized a Dutch woman named Renee Hartevelt. And after his release, he became a minor celebrity in Japan, making a living through public interest in his crime. Mm. Wow. He served time in a French jail. Oh, the French let him out. Huh.
How long did he serve?
Like, listen, he has suffered enough. All he did is eat one American. Yeah. He is under 5 feet tall, and he felt like he was weak and inadequate, and he ate her because he wanted to absorb her energy.
That's a good reason.
That is a good reason.
He fainted at the shock of shooting her, but awoke with the realization that he had to carry out his desire to eat her. He did so, beginning with her buttocks and thighs, after having sex with her corpse. In interviews, he noted his surprise that the corn-colored nature of human fat. For 2 days, Sagawa ate various parts of her body. He described the meat as soft and odorless, like tuna.
What?
Wow. That shit's crazy. You
nailed that flavor.
You're a natural cannibal.
I think this was an in-shape girl, though.
There you go.
I think this wasn't a fatty.
She wasn't a fatty.
I don't think he was eating someone for their pork-like
consistency.
Sam Kinison-like deliciousness. He then attempted to dump the mutilated body in a remote lake, but was seen in the act and later arrested by the French police, who found parts of the deceased still in his refrigerator. Oh, my God.
There we go.
His wealthy father provided a top lawyer for his defense, and after being held for 2 years without trial in the French jail, the found him legally insane and unfit to stand trial and ordered him to be held indefinitely in a mental institution.
Good call.
Wow.
How long did he...
That's a good ruling.
He spent over 3 months there, and then he went home.
Yeah, how did they let him out? Man?
Jesus Christ.
Okay, the Japanese authorities found it legally impossible to hold him because the French government refused to release court documents, which remain a secret to Japan, claiming that the case was already dropped in France. So as a result, they extradited him to Japan, and when they let him in Japan, Japan just let him go.
Oh, jeez.
It's funny how that always happens between, like, when somebody from a country gets caught for something in another country, there's always like this irrational we just want him. Punish him.
Listen how crazy this is. Upon his arrival in Japan, he was immediately taken to the Matsuzawa Hospital, where examining psychologists all found him to be sane, stating that sexual perversion was the sole motivation for the murder.
That sounds like a sadistic, evil motherfucker then,
absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. However, the Japanese authorities found it legally impossible to hold him because the French government refused to release the documents. So they said that this guy was just depraved. He was totally sane, depraved, and just sexual perversion was the reason why he killed this chick. He kills one, and then he makes a living as a minor celebrity. He's invited as a guest speaker on TV shows and shit. He pretends to eat people.
That's crazy.
He mocks biting people.
That's like if Ted Bundy was doing talk shows.
He wrote books about the murder. He wrote books about it, and describing it in great detail. Wow.
Jesus Christ, man.
This is incredible. Japanese are so different.
I know.
That culture is so... Brian, out of all the places that we've ever been to, wasn't that the one that most felt like we were on another planet?
Oh, it was great. I can't wait to go back.
But wasn't
that
it like...
Taiwan.
It really
Thailand.
It really felt like you were in another planet. It's like you're in Blade Runner or something.
Mm. Really?
You know, like, we both did.
They just got hit again with another earthquake.
7.2, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. It's looking ugly. It's looking ugly for the Japanese.
That sucks. I'm dying to visit. I really want to take a trip one day.
Tough spot, man.
Go to Japan.
The you know, being on an island that's got regular volcanic and earthquake activity like that, and after that big tsunami, like the reality of that all setting in, that's a tough spot to live.
Yeah.
It's not that big either, you know? How big is it? Is it small? It's smaller than Texas, right?
Small.
Island. Must be. I think Texas is ginormous.
Unbelievable amount of people too.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Especially Tokyo, you know. Holy shit.
And it's such a modern city too. It's really interesting. Like their buildings, and I love their writing. Like seeing their writing all illuminated and shit. It really does look like some alien shit.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fascinating culture. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they're not so good though. You got to get out of here?
Yeah, I got to get out of here.
Powerful Brian Redband is out of here, ladies and gentlemen. He's got a bolt. And you guys got to leave too,
yeah,
right?
We
got
to go.
Let's just wrap this bitch up. If anybody wants to follow Christina Pazitsky all up in this bitch, you could follow her at Christina with a C, not one of those freaks that spells it with a K.
Yeah, C-H.
C-H, Christina P on Twitter. And, of course, Tom Segura is Tom, S-E-G-U-R-A. Holla at your boy.
Buy the CDs of both of these guys. Yes. Awesome.
Tommy's new CD is White Girls with Cornrows. It's amazing.
It is amazing. Thank Tommy, you've been killing it on the road. We've been talking about it on the podcast.
Thanks,
keep hearing it over and over again.
Thank you. People
that tell me they went to your shows, I get like messages on Twitter like, holy shit, Tom killed it. He's fucking awesome.
That's awesome. Thank you.
You're getting your due, man.
Thank you for all the Joe Rogan fans that I get to meet that come to shows are phenomenal. Thank you for supporting. It's really
awesome. I've been saying this for a while, man. You're one of the most unappreciated stand-ups in the country right now. I really believe that.
Nice guy, man.
It's true.
Thank you.
I really believe that. You're like one of the top guys. All right, that's it for the podcast, you dirty fucks.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Joe.
For being on.
Thanks to
Ting. Go to rogan.ting.com, get $50 off some groovy shit. Go to onnit.com, O-N-N-I-T, use the code name Rogan. Save yourself 10% off any and all supplements. And go fuck yourself. but
there you go.
But
Merry
know this.
Christmas.
It's good. It's good to go fuck yourself. It's good.
Yeah.
Life is good. It's good to fuck. It's good to Definitely. Do everything. Just do Definitely. It. Do it all with love, you dirty fucks. And we will see you tomorrow. Tomorrow with Mixmaster Mike of the Beastie Boys.
Beastie Boys. And Russell Peters.
And powerful Russell Peters. And then
together?
Yes. And then Wednesday, the great Dom Irrera will join us. And Sunday, Dennis McKenna, the brother of Terrence McKenna, will regale us with stories of psychedelic adventures. And we'll be promoting his new book. So, all right. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in and listening. And thanks for all the positive messages and all the love out there. The amount of happy and positive people that I run into online and in real life as opposed to not happy people is fucking staggering. Okay? It's the most incredible group of people that we run into at these shows and online. It's amazing. I don't know what we did to deserve it, but thank you very much. And know this. We appreciate the shit out of it. And we're never going to forget. And we're never going to stop doing this. All right. So we'll see you soon. Bye. Go fuck yourself. And suck it. Suck it. Suck it.